The Lapine City Council work session of Wednesday, July 28th, 2010, is called to order at 6:02 p.m. We'll start with roll call, please, starting with City Manager.
Oh, here.
Mayor Shields, here.
Councilor McAfee.
Councilor Douglas Ward.
Administrative Assistant Morgan.
Councilor Hedges.
Councilor Don Brenner.
All right. We have all council here. And City Recorder Luana is on vacation. Otherwise, staff is here. City Attorney is not required to be here tonight. So we will move on to item number 3, report on planning staff.
And then other things, number 8, you guys, as things come up, we can, you know, hit kind of as a generic. That's real brief. We were actually together last week, and you might have heard me mention, because some of you were here for the planning meeting, but we don't have Deborah or anyone on staff technically. Like, say we get an application for something. So the grants covered working on the zoning ordinances and kind of getting our comp plan done and so on. But then you get into just kind of like you hire an attorney or you hire a bookkeeper. We don't really, just the stuff that comes up. So I talked to her, and she is, will do that for the next year for about $400 a month. And that would just be a flat fee, no matter how much work. That means she would come to the Planning Commission meetings and, you know, staff them. And then if we had an application, say if someone was going to build a new business, you know, she'll review and everything. It'd just be a flat fee. But cheap. But I didn't know if, you know, that's who you want to be your planner, or do you want to go out and hunt for a planner? My recommendation, probably, since she's in the middle of the comp plan and all of that, that's something, in other words, get all that done. A year from now, once all of that stuff's approved, that's probably when you'd want to start seeing who do you want, maybe do a 3-year contract with someone down the road. So what's your thoughts on a planner and staff? But we do need to do it. She's been doing it for free, and you know, she actually billed us by the hour for our meeting last week, a couple hours. But you know, so what's your thoughts?
Okay, and council, I forgot to throw out my little reminder that since this is a work session, it's just, you know, free discussion. You don't need to address the mayor before you speak. Just exercise common discussion courtesy. Speak up when you need to. Anyone?
Okay.
When would this start?
Well, we'd make it effective August. I mean, probably August 1st. What I was going to do is take the contract that she did before, and she was just changing them, so we don't have to do a bunch of legal work, because that contract was already been through the system. Just change it to $400, and we'll have to look at the wording, but she'd staff the Planning Commission and handle planning permits, you know, for us.
Is this an additional $400 a month expenditure, or is this something that's already in the budget?
Well, yeah, there's money in the budget. This is not a grant. The other stuff's been, to my knowledge, you guys can help me maybe, has been like almost all grant. Mm-hmm. Zach?
She always had, she always functioned in this capacity before for additional money, I think. That it wasn't, I know that she reviewed, like for instance, when Subway came in, and there was that that permit or that land use was kind of controversial. So she kind of challenged the traffic studies and everything, and that was under that other capacity, not as
the grant
the
stuff.
Grant stuff.
That's correct.
And that
she just did it, I think, or did we pay her?
No, that's the thing. She's done a lot of that stuff. That's over.
Do you think we paid her for that, Adele, or no?
I thought she had a contract. Or that she had a kind of a loose agreement, and that she was being compensated for that.
Well, didn't that come under what we were paying her for her original agreement?
No.
Well, I don't recall any extra money being spent to her for any kind of anything else. I don't recall spending any money on that.
Because that particular function, I know, isn't within the scope of her zoning work or her any of the grant money. And I know that.
No, it was outside of the comprehensive plan work and the contract for the zoning codes. Mm-hmm. And she's just been doing these things for us, just, I think, because we got used to throwing questions at her, and she would go ahead and take them. And, uh-huh. and you know, like with the problem that we had with the house over here on Heath,
yeah.
the smelly house, she did a lot of work on trying to get something done with that. That was just stuff that she did for us, and she hasn't been compensated for any of it. So that's actually why this question has come up.
Okay.
Which part of the budget, which line of the budget would this extra expense come from?
I'll have to research that. And okay, because we don't have a contract for tonight or anything. So
I know, but you're confident that we have...
What I'm going to do is I'm going to triple check that. But yes, I am. And the fact is, the way the budget's done, you've got kind of some big blocks of money. I mean, the fact is you're going to have a planner. So it's $4,800 a year. You know, it's going to take X amount. You're going to spend $5,000 on a bookkeeper. You're going to spend $5,000 on a planner. I mean, there's just some basic things that we're going to do. And so it's almost like then you have to cut something else because...
Do we need to hire a planner forever?
Yes.
Forever?
You will have someone forever. Now, I don't see you anytime in the near future hiring one full-time because there just isn't enough volume to pay for it. But, yes, once you... See, the problem, it's like all these things, you know, like I've said on the nuisance ordinance or anything, once you adopt them, it's who enforces them. Well, now we have ordinances, you know, our comp plan. Now we're going to have zoning ordinances. Well, you have to have someone enforce them.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone applies for a sign permit, we're going to have an ordinance that addresses signs. Well, mm-hmm. the planner has to review, does that sign meet it? And that none of that is going to be paid for by any ongoing grants because every city has that expense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's kind of... That's... You know, you're figuring she's going to charge $100 an hour. That's 4 hours a month, and she's driving down here for one meeting and spending 2 hours at the meeting. So, you know, it's
a steal.
It is. I mean, there's really no way.
Could we put Mary on the spot and see if she remembers?
I don't remember being paid.
Okay.
I think she did.
Do city planners usually stay on forever and ever?
No, I think those are all of these. And it is our professional services contracts. They aren't positions you change every year. I mean, I think when we get, and we're going to talk about our kind of audit stuff, but when you get auditors, attorneys, auditors, bookkeepers, you know, they're usually going to be 3 to 5 year agreements. You will have a mess if you're changing all of those every year because there's too much institutional memory that leaves with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so you don't have to have them forever, but they're not changed all the time.
Okay, so doing these two different jobs, the planning and the zoning, do they just go hand in hand or?
Well, they will. Of course, once the zoning's done, then that's done. See, then it's more just ongoing maintenance. See, because most cities, those have been adopted 20, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And since we're creating them, it's a little different. In fact, I think it would be cumbersome to have two different people involved.
Yeah.
Because she knows what the ordinances are going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she has a better handle. If you had another person doing it, they'd have to be calling her all the time to ask her what they're going to be. Say if we would pick someone else.
Yeah.
So.
Well, basically what you're saying is she's asking for her expenses, which is back and forth to the city council meetings.
Yeah.
Or the planning commission meetings.
Since I got here, this has come up. She's been very nice. And we really don't have a contract to do, you know, staff mm-hmm. the planning commission for routine business. You know how you've hired, prior to me, you've hired consultants, maybe you hired to do something. Like the TSP, Kittleson, they're going to come in and do our TSP.
Mm-hmm.
But if we start asking them about, what about traffic over here, he's going to say, well, that has nothing to do with the TSP.
Right.
She could have been saying, when these things come up at a meeting, say, well, you know, I'm just building the zoning ordinances. I'm not your planner.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't do that. I think she wants to maintain the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to have done a good job. So if you... And that's under our $5,000 threshold. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
we can just get the agreement. I can bring it to a meeting. I'm going to check. I'm going to figure where we're going to take that because we want to know that.
Well, we really need to know, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then I would just come back with a contract from her. But so I really kind of want to know, A, if you understand we need it, and then, or did you have a desire to go to someone else, which we can put it out. There's 10 people in Central Oregon that would probably want to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
So I just need direction.
Okay. My opinion is that, yes, there's a need. She's been functioning in this capacity for a while. And yeah, I think it would be beneficial to have someone who's doing the zoning ordinance also doing the planning and reviewing the permits and stuff.
Yes.
I agree, and I also have a couple of other comments. As far as where would it come from, the line item in the budget would be professional services. And the what's the category?
I don't have a budget. You know what I'm going to do is I'll email out to you guys where that'll... We'll have that discussion when it comes
up. But if there's not enough money in the professional services line item, it would come from somewhere else in that same category.
Well, there is sufficient money in the budget to do these things. I just want to know where it's going to come from.
Now, eventually, once we actually did... Once this is all adopted, actually people would pay a planning fee. But see, that helps offset that cost. But we don't yet really charge a fee because Deschutes County is doing it. But at the end of the year, you should be being able to start charging a fee, and then that money will come to us. And that point's come up at the planning meetings by our chairman saying, look at the fees that are going to Deschutes County. But they'll start coming here to help offset our costs of legal fees and that.
I think one of the reasons she's helped us out is because we were pretty loyal by adopting her plan in addition to the comprehensive plan. So I think she wants to keep a good relationship with the city, I'm sure. Because I'm sure there's going to be other times down the road that we're going to need someone. And they might like to put a bid in and we can look at it then. But as far as this particular thing right now, I think it's necessary and we should go along.
Okay, consensus is, and I'll come back in our August, hopefully. She's putting it together, but the August meeting and with something that we'll do about a year with her, about $400 a month, and she'll handle our planning. And then we'll be able to, we'll talk about where it's coming from and you'll be able to debate it and vote yes or no. Okay?
Okay.
So,
yes.
Okay, yeah. Charter committee, you got the list there. Now that's a draft because of, well, kind of a draft, I guess isn't the right word, but anyway, it's not final because we have two more days. So, good job getting the word out there and all of you that helped. It looks like you've got 12 people, 6 and 6, so we actually have choices, and we may have more choices. So, did the council... there's two ways to do this. One is the council at your August meeting could choose them. The second thing is maybe a couple counselors and maybe Luana could just sit and go through and make a recommendation at the next meeting of the five and the four. So that would be, so either a little committee review them and look at the applications and do it, or you know, you can do it here. Now, you know, if there's 9 or 10 or 15 of these, it's a lot of applications. If you're going to go through and read them all and go through, I mean, all of the stuff. So whatever you want.
I personally would like to read them.
I would like to, but are we going to meet them?
That's up to you.
A lot of times, Rick, we've gone ahead and just told them that they're going to be their application's going to be discussed, but then please come to the meeting.
Were you talking about like a mini interview?
Just to see who they are. A lot of people we know, but we don't know the names.
Sure.
Be around and all.
I mean, we could, if you guys wanted, we could have a different night. When you say we've got 9, how many we got now? We got 12. Let's just say we end up with 15 of these. You know, if you spent 5 minutes, 10 minutes a piece, it's a couple hour deal. So we could.
Well, the way we've done it in the past is invited the applicants to come and then ask questions. That's the way we've done. Now you're right. If there's 15 people, that's But
there's a little difference because this is a charter, which is here forever, and. Where the other committees, it's a little different. This is actually going to go to the voters, and so maybe you care more about, maybe you want to ask them questions about why they're interested. It was more than just a regular committee. But I... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I would like the opportunity. I certainly would like to read the applications, and I would also like the opportunity to interview. And we might... How about this? We found that it's usually not possible that everyone could show up on the same day at the same time frame. We could maybe choose a day and time for this, and then those who couldn't make it to that could make it to the next scheduled
meeting.
Yeah, that would be that good.
That would cover more.
So you're thinking, like, give them two options.
Two opportunities.
We could say what we could do.
No, I'd hate to leave somebody out just because they couldn't make to the one scheduled time.
I think if we can get the applications in advance and read them, we'll have some idea where we're leaning right there, and then maybe with a few questions with Jellick. And I think that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to have the application so I can go over them. Mm-hmm. And then, if we have an opportunity to meet with them, ask them whatever questions.
So, are you thinking we could set aside an hour, say at our next meeting, and then we could do an hour at our work session, and then we could pick them at the September meeting? Which is fine. You know, we can start then right after that. Now, you got two weeks between you've interviewed two, and then 2 weeks before you pick, so it's a month-long process. Mm-hmm. I don't know, unless you want a separate meeting.
Yeah, maybe a separate meeting, mm-hmm. and then very close to a scheduled meeting, and then we can finish interviewing and then make our decision at the scheduled meeting.
Well, we could look at...
So that would just...
How about we meet... It's on the 10th or the 11th of August. Mm-hmm. What if we had I don't know what your guys' schedule, what if we had it on Tuesday? We meet on Wednesdays always. What if we had a Tuesday night, the night before, where we did some interviews? And those who couldn't come, we would do them on Wednesday before the meeting. And then that night, you could pick them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That sounds
good. But it is extremely important that we have the applications in advance.
Okay. Patty got that.
So could they be in the office? We just come in and look at them?
Well, do you want us to go ahead and make... I mean, you know, it's
make copies of them,
it's 500 sheets of paper.
Email.
But
okay.
Yeah, and in the box.
Tuesday is not a good day for me. I'm working all day Tuesday, every Tuesday.
This being the evening?
I know, but...
That week
I'm
is
old.
For me.
You have got energy to burn at the end of the day.
Yes,
I've
yes.
asked your wife.
But he has to rest all day before meetings. At work.
Whatever your pleasure is, but that's...
Don, I have no sympathy for you.
I don't either.
You could do it Monday and Wednesday.
Okay,
know.
Monday and Wednesday.
And I won't be here on Monday, because obviously I can't, but you guys don't need me here to interview people, so... that would be fine if you want it. Might that be Monday the 9th? What is that? What's our meeting?
The 9th would be Monday because the Wednesday is the 11th.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Do you guys think that? Like, start at 6, and we'd see, try to get most of them in that night. And then if there's two or three stragglers, we could put them over on Wednesday. And then that would be an agenda item to make the selection.
Yeah. Encourage people to do the Monday one.
I have a problem with that whole week. So maybe I could read them and then give my
opinion,
and if I'm not able to be here.
Sure. Is that fine?
Mm-hmm.
We can't. It's hard to get everybody. Okay, so the 9th, Monday, 6 p.m., we will have interviews, and we'll, Patty, you'll get out to the folks a notice, it's letting them choose, and then the backup is at 6 p.m. on Wednesday the 11th.
Okay.
Try to push them to Monday. And then we'll pick them that night. Then I will come up with a system of that, because if you've got 15 of them and you got 5 of you, I got to think that through, because that could be a multi-hour event. Because all of you, you know.
Why don't we each give a question and, you know, pick one? You make up the questions, and we'll pick.
Oh, I'm not making up questions.
I don't think we've typically taken much time on each individual.
No. Usually it's just Adele who asks them all these things. So. She covers everything.
We'll see. We'll all think that. We'll come up with some way of...
Well, I know this, that I think the interview is important, because when we selected this interim city manager, I went through all those applications, and when it came time to make the actual selection, I changed my mind. And I changed it based on the interview that we had right that night, so I think it's important.
Mm-hmm. 10-minute interviews, I would think, with this number.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And that means they end up taking 15. I would schedule them 15 minutes apart.
Okay.
Just, you know, and Yeah, but
any reason they can't all be here at the same time?
No, they could be here at the public meeting. This is not would not be it's not personnel. It's not it wouldn't qualify for the closed meeting. So you'll need to notice it as a interview process, but it's open to the public. Okay.
Okay. Wait a minute. I didn't get all that. They could or couldn't be here.
No, they can.
But they're not. Yet they selected.
Well, but I don't believe that it's a public. Anyone can sit here. So if they want to come in and listen to the other person, they can. Or if they want to sit through a wall, it's a public. There'd be no way to close it.
Right. So what Don's getting at is why schedule it in blocks of 15 minutes?
Well, because in case a person doesn't want to sit here for 2 hours,
when the next person, So if you, you can have some people show up at a certain
really
time frame, and some people a little bit later. Could maybe move through it a little faster if we don't.
I don't really care the time blocking. That's fine. But I mean, if they're all here at once, or if they happen to show up all at once.
So what you're saying is just have like 10 or 12 of them sitting here, and you'll just ask who wants to go next?
Whatever. Makes no difference.
I like the time blocks. Mm-hmm. And then if they want to listen in, they can sit, or they can leave when their 15 or 10 minutes are up.
Yeah. Well, we could still, if everyone's here, or as many as who want to, we could still move through it faster if it works out that way.
You just tell me I work for you. What do you guys want?
Efficiency. Blocks of time.
Fine with me.
Okay.
Okay, we'll schedule blocks, and then we'll have a list. So then people will all know when that's going to be. That'll be good. People did step up, so that's fantastic.
Yes.
Okay. The employee handbook, which you have, is a draft, and that will be online tomorrow for those who want to look at it. It's kind of a thick document to a degree, so we didn't make a bunch of copies, but there's some out there. This is one of your things you guys wanted, at your top of your list, was this kind of stuff. And all we're going to do tonight, I just thought that way people kind of go to the table of contents, but you can glance through. It's pretty accurate. Now, this started out from our insurance company, City County Insurance. The reason I chose theirs as a template, I figured that they, of course, defend us if there's a lawsuit, and they know how to avoid those because they're the ones that pay out if there's a payout. It started at 80 pages. It's now down to 27. And because it's meant for any size city, it included unions and all kinds of stuff. And when you took out PERS and unions and everything else, you take away lots of pages. But I went through and each page and edited and cut and paste. And then Jeremy then took it and legalized it a little more. And believe it or not, he actually took out 3 or 4 pages. Because it was longer when I was done with it. I had 31 or 32 pages, and he got it to 27. We did incorporate, Adele, you and I talked about this, but we did incorporate the grievance procedure, basically boilerplate. We took it from the policy you already adopted and put it in here. So we gutted out the one in here and put yours in.
Good. That was paid for. That was good.
Yeah. So, it covers everything from employment policies, harassment, equal opportunity stuff, general dispute resolution, at-will employment, all employees would be at-will, their employment classification, descriptions, hours, pay, administration, overtime type rules, general office policies, confidentiality, use of the internet, electronic email, can they use personal email, and I've got the staff looking at it, and then I'm going to sit down with them, and I want them to mark one up too. So, because it's important to get their input. Mm-hmm. The performance evaluation, compensation, employee benefits, which I took your employee benefit thing, and we made a couple changes. So this is kind of our employee benefits as far as days off, holidays, leave of absence, military leave, jury duty, all the things you need to worry about, and then termination, separation of employment, that kind of stuff. So, my thought was, start going through it. Jeremy will be here at our meeting in August because he hasn't been here for a couple months and for some other issues. So I thought if you highlight some questions at that meeting, we can start going through some of those questions. Then at our work session in August, we'll do that some more. And I'd like to come in September maybe with, call it our almost final draft, you know. So then you kind of make those changes so you can read them. So September, might be October when we'd actually approve, you know. Could be September if we get it to where you like it. But otherwise, could be October. Because this is important, you know. Then then at the same time, I'm going to start working on job descriptions. Because you have to have this as your kind of part of it. Then I'm going to start working on the job descriptions. I'm going to start with Patty, just to make her nervous. And then I'll do the recorder.
Sounds good.
enjoy that whole thing. Do you have any questions or comments on the employee handbook?
Nope. Looks like we have plenty of homework.
That was fast.
Yeah. That was a big project, actually, but it was it's one that, you know, you guys said you wanted this kind of stuff, and we do need to get it before it's part of our foundation building, before we move on to become and hire more people and do things. These are the kind of things we have to have. So we'll keep at that.
Thank you.
You bet. And it is online, but we have a copy for Vicki.
Thank you.
Did you see it? Personalize that for you.
Thank you.
But it's online, so you can download it. Okay. The city. Midstate Electric. I forwarded them tonight a draft franchise agreement between the city and them. We ended up using a franchise agreement that some other cities are using that have cooperatives. Because part of the discussion to get into is, well, we're not Pacific Corp, we're not PGE, we're a co-op. But as you well know, Redmond and Sisters, as example, are all co-ops, and Maupin's co-ops, and John Day's co-ops. And so it's not very unique. And so that's out there, and that's a 7% franchise, same as Cascade Gas, is what is in it. And our plan is that we will, their attorney will start reviewing it, then we will, Jeremy and I will meet with Bill and their attorney. I imagine it'll be a month before they get back to us, because it's, you know, then I would have, then we, you know, we'll go back and forth for a while. I would say that we could get back in here some on October. They'll spend August doing their legal review. Then we'll spend September with the back and forth stuff that you do. And then it would come in here hopefully October.
I don't really know what a franchise agreement is. What does it entail?
That's a good question. Franchise agreement, you have three of them, I believe, mm-hmm. right now. You have Cascade Gas, you have Crestview Cable, and you have
Wilderness Garbage.
Wilderness Garbage. I'm missing one, aren't I? Oh,
Quest. Yeah.
Quest.
That was the long, hard one to get.
They are a key component and element of funding of a city, first of all. And when there are certain things that when you form a city, there, you know, there's things that you need, and some things you might want, and some things only some cities have. But one thing is fairly consistent. Cities have charters, cities have things. Franchises are right up there. They're a key component of your income stream. It'd be very difficult to have a city without franchise fees. Because you're assessing $180,000 for your taxes. You're taking in about $200,000 a year of general fund money. Now you can go to $1.98. That would raise you about another $20,000 or something. But you basically got $200,000 a year of general fund money coming in. OLAP money and everything is going to go to roads only. You know, it's all very segmented. Franchise fees are things that how we will be able to do from nuisance abatement ordinances, how you're going to enforce them. Someone called today about a dog thing, or someone called me about dogs today. Because there was a dog barking or doing something wrong over by the park. We don't, of course, have a dog catcher, and we don't have any specific dog laws. The dog rules are county rules, and cities often have stricter rules. So the list of the things that the city's going to continue to get into will just keep going. Counties don't have leash laws. I don't know what Deschutes County does. Some do, some don't. Most cities have leash laws. So, you know, that money comes in, and that's how you pay to decide how you're going to enforce these kinds of things and do things and be the things the city wants. You get into law enforcement. If you ever want more law enforcement, I've had, ironically, since I've been here, only one person has brought up law enforcement to me, and I would have thought that's much higher. Generally, that's right up there where people. And I've only had one citizen say, are we going to ever get our own cops or increase law enforcement? So either they're very happy the way it is, I haven't seen the people who care, or I don't know, but that issue will come as time goes. Well, if you're going to have a cop's $100,000. That's just a round figure. A cop is $100,000. So, if you're only taking in $200,000 in general from taxes, you will never have a cop unless you get all the fees that come in from these different things. So franchise fees are a big part of that. Now, the justification for a franchise fee is that just like any of you, if you own property and someone is going to come put a cell tower on it, or if they're going to come put a billboard, you get rent off it, or you wouldn't let them put it there. Utilities are using public property. So when they run a wire down the street, they are operating on your property. When you incorporated those streets, and it's a state law that cities can you're renting that property. Then it gets into things like, okay, so you get a paved street. They come, cut it up to put in a line. In this agreement, it will tell them how they have to repair it. Without that, you've all been by a repair. Sometimes they're a hole, and then to avoid that, they do a mini speed bump. Because they want to put extra asphalt on it, so when it caves in, but in the agreement it will tell them you will have to put 4 inches of base underneath it. You will cover it with 6 inches when you do it. These utilities are used to this in every city, but here right now we have no standard that would tell them how to repair our streets or how to do things. And as you're getting more sidewalks and curbs and things, well, they're cutting them up. They're breaking them up to put in things. It's all addressed in a franchise agreement. So it's a rental of the public property that the public owns.
And how is this assessed?
It's on the bill. You will see an assessment. It will be 7% tax on the utility bills. Now, you're paying it on the phone. If you go to your phone bill, it's listed there. And if you have a gas, natural gas, it's there. Any of you seen it on your bill? Probably don't look, you know, on the phone bill there's like 20 things.
Texas, yeah.
So it will be listed. It's going to say the City of Lapine franchise fee, and there will be a number. And since you've done it for gas, you almost have to do it for electric, because then it's not fair, because there are people who heat hot water, their house, and their stoves with natural gas. They're paying 7% more when they turn their heat on in the winter. If I'm all electric, I'm currently not paying that 7%. So the gas people are helping fund City Hall more than the electric people. And some people choose to heat with gas, some people choose to heat with electricity.
Oh, so the public is paying it, not the company?
The public pays it. Because you pay it. You pay it. Oh, yeah, there's no way you can camouflage that. I mean, they can pay it, but... Uh-huh. theoretically they pass it on.
Yeah, so it goes to the company and then they pay the city.
Yes.
Which what they collect.
And Bill right now, Midstate is doing an analysis. They're going house by house figuring out which houses are in the city. Now, if you're outside the city, you don't pay. So the question came up that I'm going to have to pay this if I'm outside the city because I'm Midstate. It's only city residents. And we will get a number on that. He said it would take 2 months for them to figure this out.
Well, I think they just implemented a program. It's some sort of prepay. So they're going to figure out that. It'll be interesting.
Well, they're getting smart meters and things.
Yeah.
I talked to him about that.
Now, not all the franchise, not all the people that pay franchise in this city show the franchise fee on their bill to the consumer. For example, Wilderness Garbage does not show it on the garbage bill.
They don't have.
No, I know. But has, or do you even know, has Midstate been charging that and holding it in lieu of someday having to pay it? And you probably don't know that. And it's just, the 7% is just going to be for city residents.
That's correct.
No one outside will be charged for that.
No.
Just the people in the city.
No.
Businesses, too.
Businesses. BioGreen will be paying a lot.
Mm-hmm. Where does the 7% come from? How do we know it's going to be 7%?
Well, that's a fee that you guys evidently chose when you did Cascade Gas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
so
what
that
we settled
makes
on
sense
7%.
To make it the same.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys did that.
Yes.
Okay.
And some of you might not have been here or paid that much attention to it at the time, but you did that. I'm assuming Quest is 7%.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're going to want to charge one less and one more. That would be start of a horn's nest.
That was the number we decided on.
The law is... I'm probably off. I think anything under... first of all, in the co-op says that they're different in the sense that it's not in the bill. Pacific Corp, PGE, have 3% in the bill. If you did a 3% franchise fee, your bill doesn't go up a penny. They're already collecting 3% mm-hmm. in the rate structure through the PUC. Mm-hmm. The co-ops tell us that's not true for a co-op. We're researching that. We like to know everything. But it doesn't, at the end of the day, make that much difference.
Well,
but
they have successfully evaded this for 4 years.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to really step up to get through to them. You really are.
You know, I've talked to 2 board members, had lunch with one, talked to another, and have sat with Bill and explain to him that it's when you formed a city, you said yes to certain things. I mean, the ballot doesn't list, but you know, mm-hmm. you just said yes to things, or you shouldn't have formed. Mm-hmm. And it's that basic. And franchise fees are one of the things that you said yes to when you incorporated. And like I say, every other community in the region pays it, and half of them are served by co-ops. So that's the argument. One of the arguments is, well, we're owned by the public. We're owned by the people. We're a co-op. Well,
yes. But they're not paying it anyway. We pay it.
That's correct.
They're not paying. All they're doing is processing the paperwork.
So yeah, we'll have some people. There will be some people that will, you know, not like it. It's on the bill. It's a 7% fee.
Of course.
And expect that. I don't know how much controversy you had over the gas. Sounds like very little.
I think people were paying it anyway. It was a county fee, and it just transferred over to us. I think that's the.
There was one that was charging it on the bill that we weren't charging them for, that nobody knew. I don't know which one it was.
Quest.
It was Quest. Yeah. And they were charging it anyway, but we weren't collecting any of it.
No.
And the consumer did not know that they were being charged for it.
Yeah, that was
okay.
They had it in there because they knew that someday they were going to have to pay it.
But I think it was Joanne who told us that with the gas that they were paying it anyway to the county,
yeah.
And so that we just had to switch it over.
I think the real thing with Midstate is going to be, it's things like, one of the things Bill brought up, and it's a very valid point, and Jeremy and I talked about it today, and we'll work with them on it. We'll have to probably amend our agreement. It's an example is when they're going to go do a job, a city that has full staff, the planning director type people, they kind of look at those and make sure you're not doing something you shouldn't. you know, if they're going to come through, now obviously that you would know about this, if they're going to come put more metal poles through town as high as a cell tower, you know, they don't just get to do that.
No, of course not.
But it gets down to, okay, I'm going to go replace a power pole. Do I have to tell the city? And then there's no one here to ask. But we're going to have to repair it because the power's out. I mean, it's that kind of stuff. And the standards, I'm sure, I mean, the draft ordinance really lays out how you fix that hole you dug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they'll have some comment back, you know, probably thinking it's too stringent. And, you know, that's just mm-hmm. the normal back and forth. That's where the discussions will be. I mean, it's just, the fee is just passed on, mm-hmm. like you say. It's really going to be the having some regulations that they haven't had.
Let me ask you this. Who owns the air above our city? I'm not trying to be smart, but I mean, we get the satellite TV. Why shouldn't we collect a franchise fee on that?
You know, that gets into the whole cell phone thing and everything else when it comes to taxes and excise fees, because people are leaving their Quest lines for cell phones, and that type of discussion actually comes up all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer.
Well, that would have to go through the federal government, I presume.
It won't start here.
Yeah.
You're right about that. But it is a big deal. The whole internet use, how do you tax it, and cell phones.
What would happen if we'd start and get screwed up all over the country?
Oh, do we want to do that?
Stick to bingo, will you, Don?
You're just thinking too hard, Don. Stop it now.
Yeah. I think that would be the last of our franchises for now, if you've got the garbage. And that's all that generally franchise. So the only one we're missing is power.
And BioGreen will be included in that when they're up and
going. Oh yeah,
right?
And they, you know, they use a lot of power. And the guys at BioGreen, I've told them that we'll be having a franchise fee. You know, that's just, again, no matter where they build, they're going to pay that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one reason you want to get this in, so make sure that you're, that'll use a lot of power. I mean, they'll pay a decent percent of that.
They promised you.
But you know, they're going to get a tax, and that's another, they're going to get a tax abatement.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to pay any property tax.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take Facebook in Prineville. The city of Prineville gave a 15-year abatement, but they're going to get $250,000 in power franchise fees.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is how things are done. And the companies know it. I mean, these are
price
discussions.
It's still cheaper for BioGreen than paying taxes.
Yeah.
It's still cheaper for them.
Yeah.
And any way they can cut their operating cost just contributes to the bottom line. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Okay. So are you guys comfortable with me moving forward on the franchise?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Just if I'm going sideways on anything, you got to tell me, because, you know, as these things, the temperatures do rise as we move along things. So I need you guys to realize that summer's here. And I don't want to cool down until at least November.
No, go for it.
Going with it.
You need to do that.
You're the one taking all the knocks. We're going with it.
Okay. Now then, I got a few things and anything else you guys have. The audit. I got the impression, what I do is I listen to all of you and I hear mm-hmm. little things that you maybe wanted, our audit contract's up. So, and I heard different discussion of A, wanting a full audit, B, maybe wanting a different auditor. So before we head down that path, our old auditor, which is, what's
Greger.
Her name? They're from Eugene.
Yeah, Greger Professional.
Mm-hmm. Greger, yeah. They do lots of little audits all over. They're pretty well known. We were spending about $5,000, I think, for that. And it's a review, not an audit. We probably are still okay this year for a review. Once we get the franchise fees in, we'll be over the threshold. So probably this will be our last year of a review. So we could do another year of a review, and then we're going to automatically switch to audits.
Mm-hmm.
We could go out to see who wants to do a review. I did talk to Price, Funk, and then they did your review when you were first here, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Patrick. Candy Frank, Harrigan, Price, Frank and Company. They're a good firm in Bend. They do a lot of cities. They would do a review for about $4,900 under $5,000 if we wanted. The other company will do it for about, the reason they all like $4,900 or under $5 is because we have a policy under $5. So rather than to make them $5,100 or $5,200, they tend to all be comfortable right under that. So you're going to spend about $5,000 for a review, it would appear. Do you, A, want to keep Greger? Do you want, we can, because they're under $5, we could just hire Harrigan and Price if you'd like to do it. Or we could go through a process. I mean, it's a lot of work for a one-year review. Because ultimately, I think we need to get a three-year agreement on this.
Personally, I was disappointed when we had the report on the review, and I don't know what's happened before, but we sat here with a telephone instead of the man being here face-to-face. The first time I've ever been through any kind of an audit that a representative of the company didn't come in and explain it and sat right there and answer any questions we had. And I think a face-to-face thing is necessary. So if they won't do it, Eugene, I'm for going to bend.
Of course, Price, Harrigan, and Franck did our first one, and I was pleased with that. I've seen their work with the water and sewer districts, and I've been pleased with that. And I do like their professionalism. And, yeah, they're very one-on-one, and they're physically there for you, too. And I think their product is much nicer looking, too. We picked out a couple of mistakes, I think, in the other one. When we had the telephone interview or whatever it was at the end of it with the other company, whose name I can't remember, I was disappointed. It didn't seem to me like they could respond very well to the questions that the council had on the finished product. And Price, Harrigan, and Franck has always met my expectations on that. I was pleased with them. So I would be happy just going with Price, Harrigan, and Franck.
You'd be happy with what?
Going with Price, Harrigan, and Franck.
Out of Bend?
Mm-hmm.
How big of a deal is it for us to switch?
Oh, that, not at all.
Is that something that you can just do?
You just want to, when you keep someone, you want to keep them for 2 or 3 years. Because they start, it takes them a little longer the first time. That's why they like 3, because they have to come in and kind of learn how you do things and how you file and how you, you know, they'll be meeting with her. And that's why multi-year, usually they're 3-year deals. But because we're going to have to move to a full audit, it's hard to get a 3-year one right now. Because you're going to pay more money for one of the full ones if you don't need it.
Well, it's just a matter of time before we have to have a full audit.
I would say this is your last little one.
Yeah. That matter of time is probably 2011. The next July cycle.
Then what I would do is start in April or May or something, and we would then be putting out before the end of the year for a 3-year agreement to do a full audit. But here we are in August. The year ended June 30th, so we really need to be picking them.
Yeah, I think that we do need to get another vendor. And so I'd like to talk about the full audit versus the need for a full audit or the smaller audit. So it's your recommendation or our bookkeeper's recommendation that isn't necessary this year. Because I don't think that we've ever had a full audit.
What's the cost of
we haven't needed a full audit up till now.
That out.
I got the impression, she didn't quote it, but I got the impression it'd probably go to 7 or 75 or, you know,
10 to 12.
Mm-hmm. That high. It's, you know, yeah, and you're right on that. Mm-hmm. It's more.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought, you know, when it's come up, I actually was thinking, well, maybe we should do the full audit. And then the more I thought, well, maybe if we get someone like Franck and them, let's see how they do with the little one. And we know we're going to be going over the threshold. We'll have full audits forever. Never again will you not. So if you can save $5,000 or $10,000, maybe this is the time to do it.
Okay.
This, I think, Adele, is your last option.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, because I think it's getting to be too long without a full audit.
Mm-hmm.
When we, you know, your franchise fees will bring in another $100,000.
Yeah.
That's going to push you over. As we work with sewer and water down the road, so there's just you're going to be doing full
okay.
audits.
All right. Okay.
So if you're comfortable going another year?
Another year.
And then do you want to change your vendors?
Yes.
Okay. And I got, this is her email. We have determined that we'd be able to do the reviewed financial statements for the City of Lapine for June 30th, 2010 for a fee of $4,980. Since an audit is required of expenditures exceed $500,000, we'd let you know as soon as possible. I mean, if they find it, it's going to be over $500,000, they're going to have to tell us. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. she's just basing it on us saying it isn't.
Yeah.
Please let me know if you'd like me to prepare an engagement letter. So if that's okay, I'd have her drop an engagement letter. I'd have it for our August meeting. So then they could start planning that.
That sounds good.
I'd like to do that.
Yeah. I'll be back in August.
Good idea.
Got that down, Pat? Mm-hmm. She keeps me. while we're on this subject, a little bit oddity money. We don't invest our money into the state investment pool or the county. You know, the county will invest, they put it in the state. There's a couple ways to do that, but it's guaranteed your danger of losing your money. With all the bank failures, you know, there's people that get nervous over this. Now, the FDIC has taken all of them over for the most part. No one's lost any money. But that can happen and does happen. The FDIC guarantees deposits up to $250,000. We have $400,000 to $500,000 at Home Federal. Mm. Now that bank is new and took over, but then if you read, they've had three quarters of losses, their stock has dropped. That doesn't mean that there's any issue other than their stock is dropping.
Mm-hmm.
So what I thought is either A, we could go to the state pool. B is just take $250,000 down to like South Valley, and then you get your 250 guarantee there,
mm-hmm.
and then we would just put money there as a lump sum basically, and then as we need we pull out and then deposit it over into Home Federal, and then our bank, our checking account and everything would stay. That's where the checks in and out are. You basically just take off some of it and stick it over there, because when you go to the new bank you get the guarantee,
mm-hmm.
and then we'd be pretty well covered. It keeps the money local. I mean, that's the one. The interest rate is, there is no interest out there right now. You're talking 1% stuff a little bit. But it helps invest in your community. You're setting an example that Lapine wants to reinvest the money that you have collected from our people, or we get it from ODOT and whatever, but we invest it back in our community. They employ people at the bank. It's important to show those deposits in Lapine. But that's a choice of the council as to where your comfort zone is. So I want direction, again, because we come back and have some resolution things to do this, to open up an account. I don't run around just opening bank accounts. So, what's your thoughts?
I think that's a good idea. I like that.
So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, 250 into the South Valley.
Okay.
Get a definite agreement on how you can change account signatures on the accounts, because we've had nothing but HELL trying to change them from the seniors.
it is a pain. I mean, it'll process it.
They tell us exactly what to do. We do it and we take it in and go to somebody else, and they say, well, this is no good. You got to do this. And we've gone through this about four different times.
This is with South Valley?
At South Valley. And I have an account there too, so I mean, I'm not going against them or anything, but it just they need to have a policy set that we know in advance.
Okay.
A procedure that's going to be every time we know what to do.
Yeah, right.
Would there be a money market possibility
CD?
There?
Yeah, well, there we can, do it. I think because
CDs
we're
better.
Because we're doing, we probably aren't going to do CDs. We need our money liquid.
Don't even get into that.
Yeah. We'll work with the bank on that.
Okay. We will have public input time at the end of the meeting.
Your idea is very financially sound, by splitting your money between one place to two places. That's very sound, because, yes, something could happen. But it probably won't. But if it did, we don't want to be stuck.
Okay.
That's really a good idea. As long as we can coordinate it between who's writing the checks and we always know where the money is, how much in this account and how much in that account, as long as you can coordinate it,
it's a good idea. It's a savings. She's going to pay the bills out of the regular account. You know, a city like this, as we grow, especially, you'll always have cash sitting around.
Well, you have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
You know, and I haven't been here long enough, obviously, to know how far that drains down or anything, but my guess is you always, I don't know how low, we always have, I would assume, $200,000 or $300,000.
How far we have to.
That'll do nothing but go up. Just because there's money in, money out all the time.
We've never ended a year where we didn't have money left over. And that's a real attribute to what we're doing, particularly when we've reduced tax rate by 18 cents. We've reduced taxes and we still have money left over providing services. Gosh, what more can you ask for?
You're doing a good job.
Well, thanks, Dad.
They're going to ask you for a lot more.
I know that already.
This is, I've talked to everyone but you.
I know, I really don't
feel
like that. I was in the corner.
Slighted, and I, you know.
I have to turn my chair around.
on City Hall, an actual structure. Mm-hmm. It goes back to this whole, when you incorporate it, there's things that you have to have. And you know, this building does not work for a city hall particularly and isn't going to work into the future. You know, and I think people expect you're going to start a fire district, you're going to have a fire station. You start a city, you need a city hall. And this has been a nice four-year, you moved a couple times, it's been a nice four-year deal. So I've never really talked officially on the record with any of you about what your desires are long-term for an actual building. As you can tell, well, those of you who have been in the office, it doesn't work for city manager, and you want a full-time city manager. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work. Again, as we work with sewer and water, as you take on additional staff, that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like people say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Well, but I have to go back to the bricks and mortar and the foundation, and the building is all part of that. So what is your thoughts in general on, don't, if you can, which is hard, not to be picking buildings or locations so much, it's more of, first the part of the discussion is the concept of having a city hall. Mm-hmm. Then we move into financing of a city hall, and then you get into use, new, I mean, there's a lot of steps, but the first one is, I'm trying to avoid people to say, oh, I know this building's for sale, and this one's for sale, and this one's for rent. So I'm trying to get you more to your thoughts on a city hall.
Well, I have two. For one, it's needed. I mean, it would have been nice to have that just magically there when we first incorporated, but of course that can't happen. So it's needed, and number two, we have a better understanding of our financial stream and everything now, and I think it's easier to take a look at what we can afford, and I just think the timing is right for it.
I agree. I think that, you know, because we have talked before, so I have given it a lot of thought, and I think that that to move forward and to provide more services, I think that it'll be conducive to business at City Hall and become more of kind of an anchor into the community.
Yeah, I've said in the past all along, someday we're going to need something other than this. We've always said that. We all know we're going to need it. Probably going into the next cycle in July of 2011, that's probably going to be about the right time. That question comes down to, how do we pay for it? That's up to you to figure out. I'm all in favor of it. You need to come back to us and say, well, this is what we can do. This is what it'll cost. I'm not real big in favor of putting a city in debt for a building. Maybe we have to. Maybe we don't. I don't know. You're going to have to come back and tell us that.
You're good.
Give you something to do.
It is going to give me something to be.
Yes. But, you know, I have had conversations with a number of residents here in the city that prior to you even bringing this up have asked me, when are you going to have a city hall? Okay? And I said, well, we're working on it. Okay? Their thought is that it would be a centralized downtown location.
Sure.
Wherever that is.
Yeah.
But people have asked me, when are you going to have a city hall? Well, I don't know when we're going to have one. But then on the other side of the coin, they've also said, if you get one, don't raise my taxes. And that's just normal.
Of course.
Of course.
I think we need one, and it would be useful to have larger meeting rooms where two committees can meet at the same time, you know, without having to go out and rent another place. I'm all for it. It's something that would go along with the way we're trying to depict Lapine, if we ever do that, what our motto is going to be.
Very definitely we need one. But I'm sort of like Doug. I want to know where the money's coming from and if we got the money to do it. And I know that if we move from here, we're going to have close to $1,000 because that's what we're paying here for rent. So we just need to know what's available, what money is available, how much we can get for grants, and how much we have to dig up in ourselves, and just have kind of get a package together so we know where we're at. But I think we need to have one. And the quicker the better. Again, I don't expect you to go buy a building tomorrow. But I think we need to move on.
One of the things that I need to do is, and I'm going to, since you all agree we need to have one, is the main funding source is going to be the USDA rural development, that they have money and they will loan at about 4% for 40 years. That's their terms. And the answer to your question on, we're not going to pay cash for one. I mean, you should. I mean, city halls last 50, 60 years, so, you know, that payment needs to be spread
sure,
so that the people today aren't saddled for the city hall for the future. So it's pretty much spread out over time. Their rates, no one beats that. I talked to a bank about, you know, financing, and they're like, they just assume you go to the feds. One of the requirements of that program is that you prove that the banks won't take you. But they have a list of things we have to do, and we have to do a demand analysis and basically a financial analysis that you have to hire out. They do not let you do it yourself. Has to be done by CPA. They have a whole set of requirements. And I'm going to find out what that will cost, so I'll come back to you at some point. What we'll have to do is upfront a certain amount of money to do this. And they'll study our budget and decide what we can afford. They don't want anyone going in debt beyond their capacity. So that's all information you're going to want. Mm-hmm. But we do have to upfront that part of the cost. And so you hire, and firms are used to doing this because this goes on anytime someone builds a government building. you know, one of the things I got to ask is your history. They want historical 5 years, and we don't been here 5 years. I'm assuming that that's a guideline, not a must. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've only been here 4 years, is that enough? You know, there's some other things that probably we're not as, you know, we're not going to score as high on staff turnover, key positions, you know, just things that, you know, they may grade us down on, but nevertheless, it's something we need to do. But I think that's really where we'll find the money. Now, they have no grants. They pretty much, well, they don't. There are no grants for City Hall. The grants go to senior centers, kids-type things. You know, they look at City Halls as kind of a nuts and bolts cost of doing business type thing, and it isn't glitzy enough for a politician to cut a ribbon, so they don't. There are zero grants at rural development for city halls. Now, the Community Development Block Grant Program has some grant, but right now grants are on these things are going down, and they like to make the loans. That would be probably a new building, and I, you know, a new building is a whole different ball game from getting plans and going forward. And so, I think what I'd like to do is find out what's going to cost us to do this analysis. Mm-hmm. Who are the kind of companies that do them? Mm-hmm. And maybe that's $5,000-$10,000 or something, and then we would have that complete. Then you move forward on, because one of the problems is if we're going to build a building, we have to go type a piece of land, because you mm-hmm. you have to know what it's going to cost. See, it's that chicken or the egg thing, and it's difficult when you get into real estate. If you go buy an existing building of the two or three that are available in town, and we borrow extra money to remodel, so you may see a crappy looking building, but it can be remodeled. You know, you buy one for $200,000 and spend $200,000 fixing it up, or you buy one for $400,000 and spend $50,000 fixing it up. But at the end of the day, you know, you're going to spend X amount. And it would be nice to know, we need to know this ahead. But when I go to someone and say, hey, if I went now with none of this information, I'd have to go get a 6-month due diligence clause on a piece of property. Well, no one's going to accept that. In other words, that's where I go put earnest money down and say, hold it for me for 6 months, while we go do government bureaucracy. And they're going to look at you and say, thanks, but no thanks. Mm-hmm. They won't take it off the market that long. Mm-hmm. You know, 60 days, 90 days. So what? That's the dilemma. I got to get everything in order so when we go out and buy land or a building or something, that we already know we're basically financed.
Mm-hmm. As you say, the block grant is for new construction only?
No, the block grant, I've got to check further into that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And USDA will fund new construction or existing?
Yeah, USDA has money to loan. And so it's not competitive. In other words, and I run the numbers on borrowing like $450,000. They have it. So it's not like you're competing. Someone else beats you out. They do have the money. If we meet the requirements of our, you know, of ability to repay a loan, that comes out to I just give you the round numbers on that. It's $2,500 a month, and that includes a reserve. If we borrowed, say, $450,000. And then you go from there. You take away about the $1,000 we're paying here. And so, I mean, I think someone needs to realize that you're going to spend $25,000 a year. That, you know, again, an additional money on a city hall.
$2,500 a month is dirt cheap.
Right.
It is just dirt cheap on $450,000.
Yeah.
What is your definition of a square footage building that would be adequate for use now and expansion later?
I'm assuming you want this thing needs to be several feet bigger, and you want more of a, you know, and we get a good sound system in it, and you'd get more built in, and it would have amplification if you need it. We could, in the back, have people hearing impaired, you know, headphones and all kinds of little things. I mean, I think mm-hmm. if you did it, we'd want to do that up, right? Mm-hmm. Where you've got PowerPoint projector, you know, those kind of things. And it needs to be double this size. You're not building a gymnasium, you know, but you want to be able to handle your average. And then you want nice, and you want a conference room, like mm-hmm. Barbara's saying, for, you know, for smaller groups, mm-hmm. you know.
But you know, being in business as well as I do, that when you put up a building and you say, boy, this is just the perfect size, about 2 days later you say, gee, I wish I had made it bigger.
Okay.
We have to take that into consideration.
And we buy an existing building, we also then have to have an architect look at it, so that's a little heads-up expense, you know. That we might be able to get in our 90 days. In other words, if we get the other stuff kind of done, that's what I'm going to try to figure out. What do we have to do ahead, and what can we do after we put earnest money down? The other option down the road could be, if we get financed, in other words, if we meet the kind of the requirement, you get someone to, you get a bank to buy, finance you for a year, you know, because they'll do interest only for a year or something. Like a takeout loan that you get on your house. So mm-hmm. we could go buy the property from one of the banks that finance it. Then you spend that time going through the final paperwork and all these things. But a bank won't make that loan unless you have basically a letter of commitment from the funding source, i.e. USDA. So, mm-hmm. it's,
you
know.
You lost me on that one.
This goes on all the time. There's people in Central Oregon that go out, because I know some of them, they will go buy a building for someone or a property, mm-hmm. knowing that you're going to come buy it from them. I mean, it's all part of the plan. Mm-hmm. They have the money, they go buy it. We then are going to take a year going through USDA. Then once you get all done and approved, USDA writes you a check, you write that person a check. They made a little money doing it. That goes on. There's people that you well know if I said their name in Central Oregon that do it all the time. But I don't think I'll do that just to save him the public scrutiny. You guys shop at some of his businesses. So
I understand completely.
So that there's a lot of ways to do it, but it is complicated. What I will do, though, when we come down to if we find things, we would do that in executive session under Oregon law, and rightfully so. There's a few times you go in executive session, and real estate's one of them, because you can't make a real estate offer in public. Or tomorrow, somebody else runs down, and, I mean, literally, someone will go buy it to make you pay more. They'll go offer other prices. Real estate transactions are definitely behind closed doors. And that is happens also all the time. So when we negotiate a price and you make an offer, we'd be discussing that in a closed session for a lot of good reasons. But that's down the road. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but it doesn't go with saying how much we're going to take the loan out for.
Well, we don't know that yet. We don't have anywhere to buy. We don't have any funding, so that's why I said first you just have to tell me to go ahead and start working on it, looking and hunting that out, and then work through this process on the financing. We really need to find out what when they get approved for a house loan, the bank will kind of look at their income, and then they will say, you're good for up to $200,000 based on your income. Then you get to go find your house. Mm-hmm. Kind of what this will do, they're going to say, you know what, City of Lapine, we're comfortable if you spend $500,000 on a project. Then you go make it out. Do we buy a lot for $50,000 and spend $400,000 building one? Do we go spend $400,000 and putting $100,000 remodeling it? Mm-hmm. Whatever, but we know what we can spend. That's what this will do.
Pre-qualified
kind, yeah. Mm-hmm. And with the feds, it'll be tricky, but I can get there.
I feel like the yes man today.
Of course, if we get the BLM land, and how big is that parcel over there in the center of town?
Good parcel.
Then we don't have to buy land.
That's correct. Now, that's been in Congress for 5 years.
Another year or two.
About time.
I don't know what goes up, no
way. What makes you think it won't be there for another 5?
Well, as mostly, I mean, I met with the congressional delegation at the Mexican restaurant down here last week. Met with David Blair from Walt Wyden's office, and then I met with Nick from Walden's office. We discussed that issue. And then I had lunch with Greg Walden Saturday. And I talked to Greg about it. And so they're aware, but it's in the Senate, so Greg can't do a lot. And then I also talked to Ron Wyden and his staff about, or his staff, I should say, that we want to make sure that property, all the property that's within the city of Lapine that is given to the county, it comes with the understanding that the city of Lapine will have the say on what is done with it. When this went into, 5 years ago, when this went to Congress, the city of Lapine didn't exist. Mm-hmm. So there was no city to give it to, and so all the wording is with Deschutes County. And I have discussed that with the county manager and Alan Unger in like 2 emails last week, that we would expect, we would like all that property, including the several hundred acres, given to the city. We will decide how it's used. Or it goes to the county with the understanding that the county won't do anything that the city doesn't approve of. Mm-hmm. And that's just a gentleman's agreement that we're working on. And I'm meeting with all the county department heads next week.
Now, you know, when they first started this thing, the original agreement on that was that the property on 6th Street would be deeded over to Park and Rec for the specific purpose of a rodeo grounds and a fairgrounds. And then the other property out across from where Biogreen was going to be would be deeded to the county, but that the county was going to do a survey and then deed it to the city. That was the original agreement.
Let's hope.
And we need to make sure that the county honors that original agreement.
I agree with that. So,
and we could also, at the same time, all the rest of this BLM land that's within the city limits, we should figure an avenue of asking BLM to transfer that property to the city. There's some very valuable pieces of property here that are just sitting there growing weeds and will never be developed as long as BLM owns them. It will be developed if the city owns them. Very valuable pieces of property. So we should somewhere along the line figure out how we go about starting that process.
And 5 years is the average length of time for BLM to transfer property. That's been the norm for years. Food for thought.
Yeah. I sent an email about me working more hours, 5 more hours, and I got emails back from some of you. And so if that's something, you know, and some of the, as I said, the city hall, the transportation system plan, which we're going back and forth in emails picking out when we're going to all get together personally, but they want me to be on this technical team with, and you need to be, with the person from Kittleson, the county public works director, and so on, because this is how we're going to pick out where traffic signals go. And then once you get on, the TSP drives all of the STIP funding that is how we will get our money to ever get a traffic signal. Again, it's, you know, people can want a traffic signal, but unfortunately there are systems that you have to go through. And we cannot leap ahead of these, or you're just throwing, you know. And so the TSP is very important, and that will be the plan of how you do sidewalks, curbs, and things through the highway through Lapine. And intersections. Mm-hmm. That's key. Mm-hmm. And it's been hired by the county, and they're starting. And I've got a Gantt chart in there that shows that's going to be going. We'll be done in November or December, I think. Maybe. So it moves along. There's public meetings. There's all kinds of input. It's
so
quite
the
a deal.
So study will be done in November?
I want to say. Don't hold me to that, because it's a big, long Gantt chart. Uh-huh. It's got it. But it's not a year-long process. Uh-huh. It's, you know, and they'll be doing traffic counts and things. But then we have to start our city TSP at some point. And then that's how then we'll look off the highway into streets and sidewalks and curbs and all the pedestrian-friendly stuff you want to do. And that would be Huntington Road and all of that. Then that becomes your Bible that we will use to move forward in planning and planning commission stuff and all that. So
does this TSP system go clear to Highway 31 down here?
I don't know that.
Because that's what we talked about at the last meeting that I attended up in Manhattan. Right?
I don't know where that goes.
That was the corridor plan, right?
Yeah, from First Street clear to 31.
I think this particular one, I think it only goes to
just the length of this.
Yeah, just within the city limits, right? Yeah.
The one that Kittleson's doing. Yeah. I think it's from First down.
It's just the three intersections.
Yeah.
From First South.
You don't think it includes from Wickiup down?
No. That's an entirely separate, different thing. That's.
But that brings up a good point, though, because there is that parallel corridor plan that regionally they're talking about, and so maybe we need to, and I don't think that they've been talking to us about any coordination or what our issues are.
Well, when we get into this plan, I'm sure we can start asking about, I can ask about that.
Yeah.
You know, by God, I hate to have three TSPs going.
Well, that's what it sounds like to me, is you've got one group here and one group here working, and they're not talking to each other. It's just about like
Well, they are.
A husband and wife that's not getting along too well.
Well, Rick will get
is your garage at night warm?
Rick will get to the bottom of it. Are we going to give him more hours so he can do this?
Okay, where are we on the budget? Because I missed the final budget meeting because I was sick. So I don't have an answer for my own question. If we grant you a pay raise, okay, more hours, five more hours or whatever it is, where are we on the budget? Long-term budget, because the budget's the budget till next July. If we spend the additional $1,200 a month or whatever it happens to be, where are we in 6 months with our current budget for administration?
You have a lot of money in there because for the administration and the professional services, because when you hire a city manager, which you're contemplating, they're going to be making more than I'm making.
Well, yeah, I know. The budget leaves $52,000 for a permanent full-time 6-month city manager. And it has $5,000 a month for you for 6 months. And then it has Patty and it has Luana. My question is, if we dip in and spend an additional $1,200 a month, how does that reflect the total amount of money that we have in there? Are we going to run short, or do we have a surplus in there that will cover that?
I would come back to you with that.
Because if I'm not mistaken, I think Kendall figured a 7% above the cost in the budget.
That's what we did.
To cover something like this that would happen. I just want to know if that's correct or not.
We figured 7%, I think, for potential pay raises and just the wiggle room.
So we do have a little cushion in there.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Do we have I don't think I've gotten a copy of the budget.
You didn't get one?
Well, it's probably around. Mine went home with me because I was going to look at that today, but mine went home.
I can get you one.
Okay. But we also anticipated that we would have a city manager.
Right.
So that.
See, Roger asked me when we met, he says, you know, and I don't did it come up in a meeting you guys had, because he said, would you be willing to work like 30 hours or something? And I said, you know, it must have come up here that the 20 isn't going to be enough. And I said, well, let's start with 20. I said 30 would be hard for me, and I certainly none above. And I said, well, let's see. So, and it really was in the city hall thing is going to take time, and then this TSP. And that's when you look at all these meetings that you have to do, and I mean that's a real pretty intensive process. Plus, I already spend more. So,
well, our original contract was for half a week's salary, which is 20 hours, right? And so you're looking at 24 hours. Is that
25.
Yeah. That's an increase of 25%.
Right.
Personally, a deal's a deal. But I don't. If all the things we're giving you to do, if you can assure us that you're going to go out and do all these things, and we've given you more than you can do in 20 hours, then I have no problem with giving you an extra 5 hours a week and paying the $12.50 for it, providing, of course, that the money is firmly in here so that we don't end up next May with a shortage.
The other option you have is I can't spend any more time at 20. I mean, I'm already doing over 20. So
I know you.
It's you could, one of you could do the two at TSP, and one of you could handle the city hall. I mean, it's not like I'm taking a raise.
We don't know what we're doing. You do.
It's you know, you guys set the agenda. I mean, the list just people just. That's why I keep saying no to people on things. I cannot. I mean, I went to the homeless thing for an hour and a half. You know, and I'm, you know, after you start early in the morning, and then you're at a homeless thing at 7:30 at night, 8 o'clock, listening to.
Well, I don't think that you don't have to sit there and justify your time. I said it's pretty evident in the progress we're making. And I would be, you know, provided that there is a budget, and I'm pretty sure from what I remember on how we came up with that figure that there's plenty of money within that line item, Of course, you know.
You do, no, I, that's a good question. I'll come back and kind of look at the professional item and that. And then the other thing is ultimately where, I mean, there's plenty of places. Some of you said you haven't seen the attorney. Well, for every hour I do something.
That's very true.
It drops.
We all know that a professional hired for 20 hours a week never works 20 hours. Always works more. I mean, that's the way it is. Just how it works out. So I don't have any problem with an extra 5 hours a week.
My thing is I don't want us to get in the same hassle over giving you additional responsibilities and additional time that we got into with our attorney. We sat here as a council and gave our attorney thing after thing after thing after thing to do, and every single member in this council voted for it. And then we seem to have a problem with some of the community and how much our attorney fees are. Now, if we go ahead and authorize this, we want to make sure that the people in this community know that we're asking for additional services and we're paying for it. Just like when we ask for additional services with our attorney, we have to expect to pay for it. And right now, our attorney fees, just having him not attend these meetings is saving us about $800 to $1,000 a week or a month for his attorney fees. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm for doing it, but I want to make sure that the public knows what we're doing and why.
Rick has clearly outlined what... Rick understands, obviously, what we're asking of him. I think it's clear to all of us. Mm-hmm. We've made it clear what we want done. So the question is... It's going to take additional time. Do we want to drop some of this stuff, or do we want to pay the extra hours and get it done? I say we pay the extra hours and get it done. We said that's what we wanted.
Yeah. I feel the same way. I just want to make sure that everybody understands that we're assigning this work to it, and it's going to cost more money.
No, I got what you said. I was just substantiating or, you know, agreeing.
Yeah.
That's comparing apples to oranges. It's completely different.
I don't believe it's comparing apples to oranges. It's comparing...
Well, I don't eat either, so...
it does make any difference. It's gone and done, but I want to make sure that there's no problem over this.
And as far as the budget, yes, we did figure manager costs into the budget. Plus, while I don't like to, you know, talk in terms of... I don't ever want it to sound like just... throwing money around, gosh, we have all this money, but we do have a sizable contingency fund too. We made sure of that, you know, just in case something extra does come up. So we do have the funds. The budget isn't a problem, but
we also
want a building.
We just need to make sure that we use what we have properly and don't use what we don't need improperly.
Right.
That's where a lot of cities have gotten themselves in big, big trouble, is spending money that they haven't got.
Well, that's why, if you know, I mean, I am trying to keep us focused on topics and going down. And then, you know, what I figure is what happens is I try to spend a certain amount of time what I call the spot fire, you know, the dog complaint or whatever. You have to. That's just kind of public relations you do and so on. And then when groups, the library board is coming from Deschutes County, wants me to speak at their meeting, you know, I'm told them yes. Those are kind of, you know, that's a certain amount of your time, and then just things like the Lapine car that's sitting out front for everyone to go see from Sisters, you know, it takes time to stop in Sisters and look at it. And I just did that as I was going through. You just do that kind of stuff, and there's just stuff comes up every day. But I'm trying to stay focused on these other things. And it's hard because, you know, there's a lot. We need so much. Mm-hmm. But we're getting there. I mean, I think that we're starting to, you know, just like your employee handbook here, we'll have these things. We'll start getting, and then they're done. And we'll just keep moving forward. And the TSP, I mean, to be honest, I got other things to do than go work on the TSP. But that is key to this community. Mm-hmm. So... I mean, if you're not at the table there, you will lose.
Well, that's a very important thing with the public, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this
Barb, do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I already told you. I think that we need to have you more hours. I had thought that hiring you for 20 hours a week was not enough because we have so much to do. So, I'm all for it.
Well, I'll come back for the August meeting with, we'll just do a, like a one page. I'll come back with the financial side, but we'll have, because Jeremy, again, he'll be here that night. We want to get as many things as we can while he's here. Just a one-page amendment, adding 5 hours and the same ratio of pay, and we just attach it to the contract. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to spend a bunch of legal time redoing the whole contract.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Is that fine?
That's fine.
Well, I thought we were going to do the financial analysis thing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we'll just, I'll just say, I'll come with it ahead and say this, but the problem is then you're going to wait another month.
Well, yes, I
know. But I'll just, I'll send out a thing on that.
Oh,
just
okay.
To say this is how much you have in the different funds. There's probably 10 different funds you can take it from.
Okay.
So, but I'll try to keep it with the. I'll go back and look at that. So, the last thing for me is for at our next meeting, we need to vote on the. Agreement between Sewer and Water and us, because you know that's been going around out there. We've not had an agreement since January for you kind of have an agreement that they operate the sewer and water within the city. That's one you've had, I don't know if you've redone it twice, but you have had it in the past. That expired in January, and that's been going back and forth between attorneys and things, and now it's time to move that to a decision. Jeremy's asked that we would have that in executive session under the law would allow that for contracts and attorney-client privilege. Attorneys are allowed to talk to their clients. And so any decision we make would be public. In other words, if we decide to sign or not sign or how long we're going to sign for would be public. But the discussion on it is legal to be, and since he's going to be here, what we would do is just have that at 6, right when we start, and take 15 minutes, and then on the agenda, then I think we would have an item for an actual discussion and vote on that agreement. Is everyone okay with that?
So is the agreement going to go beforehand so we can take a look at it, or?
Well, the preference is to hand it out at the meeting because you realize that if it's something that's attorney-client privilege and it's going to be going to executive session, if any of you share the document, you're violating Oregon law.
Right.
And so the danger is once you have it, it gets places.
Just as long as we have adequate time to read it, because I have a big thing with having a contractual agreement or some other document, having someone talking, and we're expected to read it and make the decision then.
You know what we could do is get you the agreement, because the agreement is all over, minus what date we're putting on it.
Oh.
So you can look at all the bits and pieces of it, all the 3 or 4 pages, and all the paragraphs, and you can read it all, and we could get to that next week, and what you're missing is the discussion on the date and some other issues. But the document itself, the meat and potatoes, really is only missing very little information.
Okay.
How's that?
That sounds good.
Yeah. So I'll talk.
Because it's too hard to...
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Is our next meeting going to be on the 11th?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so we will interview beforehand?
So you're doing that on Monday, and then that is going to be on the agenda that night for a few people we have to catch.
Okay.
I think you're better off starting the executive session. Now, the other thing you could do is if you wanted the executive session at 5:30, so you do that ahead of time, and then it's out of the way when people get here.
Probably would be a better time, 5:30, than 6.
And you're only going to have 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not to be a long Is that okay?
Yeah. I think that's a good idea.
Okay, so 5:30, Patty, for executive session next meeting. We wouldn't have, if we had something on the building, but we wouldn't. We can do that then too. Okay, that is all, and we have 20 minutes or more for council issues and other things that you guys want to talk about.
Okay. Oh, you also have the draft resolution, Public Works Committee. Were we going to talk about that?
Oh, you know, that's, I forgot that.
Oh.
But if I sent that out to you, right?
Uh-huh.
And what that is that's really the public work. That is the committee you formed. And I just, and again, I didn't, so to save legal time, I just public works it and added in, you know, to broaden its mission. It can operate the same. I did, you know, change a few things on the number of people and some of that. But the guts and the meats and potatoes of it is the resolution that you did. And we would become a public works committee. The sewer committee, I would like to, originally I thought, close it down now.
You mean the utility?
Utility.
Uh-huh.
Utility committee. We'll close it down now. But I've had second thoughts about that. Is let it, because it's going to get busy, we could go ahead and let it handle the whole utility issues as we move forward here over the next few months. Mm-hmm. And then let the transportation side of the Public Works Committee continue dealing on the TSPs and the planning stuff. So go ahead and change its name now and all that, but the Utility Committee continues. Then sometime in the next 6 months, 7 months, the Utility Committee goes away. As long as you all agree it can go away. People hate to shut any... No, people never like to close anything down. They like to keep them going. That was my thought. And if you guys are okay with going ahead and making it a Public Works Committee, and with that they understand the Utility Committee would keep going. And then if a couple people on the Utility Committee would like to be on Public Works, we have a couple vacancies there. And under that, they can't. So,
okay. Should we just email you any of our questions on the draft? Or
yeah. Yes. Because I didn't. Okay. You send me like because the only thing I'm not good at the typos and the wordsmithing.
Yeah, I just needed.
I will send it to Jeremy once we. Cause how we save money is by me doing the get it kind of narrowed down. Then it reduces the amount of review he has to do, and it's just more of it's legal.
Okay.
You're saying. This committee will be able to meet sort of like we were talking about unofficially underneath one of our committees.
But I've decided no.
Oh, okay. So that's going to be a full-blown committee that's going to have the recorded minutes and all of that.
I've decided that that's probably for several reasons, and I think it will work fine based on my strategy.
Okay, then. So, Adele, did you have a couple of things?
Yeah, I do have a couple of things. One, I didn't bring my... do you have the email there? I think I did bring it. I'm sorry. We spoke about this grant opportunity. It was the Transportation Enhancement Grant. And at that time, I'm going to really have to ask Karen to help me with this, to explain it. And at that time, Rick decided that it wasn't something that he thought that we should pursue, or he had time to pursue, I think it was a time issue. So we had a lot of enthusiasm from a citizen, and she actually applied for the grant. And
prehab.
She did a letter of intent. And it was accepted. She actually did a lot of work on it. It was going to each of the what we're asking for in this preliminary letter was the Huntington Corridor, right? Asking for sidewalks, complete sidewalks from First Street to the Senior Citizen Center and with streetlights along these two sides of the street. And do you want to add?
Yes. For those of you, you've seen me in here when I was involved in the Ford Foundation to put the city lights in, the street lights in, on Huntington. And that is something that it took a group of us, of 30 of us, working in the town, taking in public input, taking and working with you, and taking a lot of your time up, for which I do apologize for that, to make it happen. But because it did happen, we have a lot of things already set in structure for this to be fulfilled. Our original goal, when we thought of what would be perfect in the Pine, would be streetlights going from 97 clear down to the Senior Center. Sidewalks was not something we had thought about that time because the lights was more than we knew that we'd be able to fund. We, as a town, got together and raised over $60,000 to put those lights in. We were shooting for about $12,000 to put in a few lights, to bring the safety to that road and the lights to that road. I have had many people tell me that it is one of the neatest things that could have happened, but the question I get more than anything else is, so why isn't there more of them? And how come you started with one here, and then there's one way down here and one way down here? And that was because of funding. We couldn't afford to put them all the way down there. So when I heard about this grant, realized it was short term, I went out to make sure that we would be able to continue, myself, taking this on as a lead so that Rick wouldn't have to put his time in on this. And I know Rick doesn't know me from Joe Blow or anybody else. Rather, I'm a person that does come in and say, here, this is great, get it started, and go, don't want nothing to do with it. And I know that I've been involved in many organizations that happens. What I said is I would take this project on through completion. We wrote up a letter of intent. I talked to contractors on cost. I talked to the county on codes. I talked to Midstate that they were willing to enter into the same contract as they had before, as long as there was no negotiations there, that they would put the $1,250 up per light that we put in. I went ahead and talked to three of the main landowners about sidewalks, and one being Carol Brewer, one being Neil Russell, and one being Brian Earls. They have the significant chunks of land that don't have sidewalks on there. And so all of them were very much in favor of it, including being able to maybe help out financially a little bit. Mm-hmm. This grant only needs 10% funding, matching funds. We get that with Midstate. I had Tom, the engineer, sitting there while we were on the phone with Bill Kopax, and he said, yes, I will honor the exact same thing. I went ahead and got bids. I went ahead and put the numbers together. Put them in a letter of intent, added pictures on what things are going along to finalize what we have envisioned from the beginning for over a year that the community was involved in and seen as what they wanted, and were very happy to have it, and put a letter of intent because I knew that it would be a couple years before the funding does come through. And so with that, I heard that, yes, they actually did like what I wrote, which really made me feel good. I'm not a writer. And I also have somebody that does write grants, more than happy to work with me on the grants to make this happen. It is a project I'm more than willing to take on. I believe that, yes, you do need to have a structure and rules and what we want for a vision in the future. But what Rick might not know on that is we actually did go through a lot of that and had that vision before we started. We had a little light up around town. We had public input. We talked to all the business owners. We talked to property owners. And this is something they wanted. We just could not fund it to make it happen. And with this grant, we could fund the fact of having lights properly spaced for lighting required, because we had already drawn out all the engineering that's in behind making it go down to not to the Senior Center, but all the way down to base
buy,
hardware.
Buy
yeah. And so we have that already plotted and approved and figured out with the thought it would be nice to go all the way down there and talk to the guys with the senior center, senior housing and things like that. So this is to complete a vision that we started, that the community's been involved with, that I'm more than willing to spend my time making this happen with many of the people that have this property involved very much in favor of it happening and said, good luck, I hope you can make it. So that's where I'm coming from with this. I understand we need rules and regs and what we want to see and what the community wants to see, but we have gone through a lot of that already and gotten a lot of that approval, and so I hope that the council and Rick will take a look at this and allow me to go forward with this vision of being able to do that. FYI, I did incorporate into that a cushion for when I did all the bids. I put a cushion above that for a couple different things. One, in case we do have to do engineering because it's over a year out. Now we don't on the sidewalks. We might have to. Plus, having enough money there for 5 years for the lights, electricity, so the city wouldn't be having an electric bill for 5 years. Which I believe we have 10 now on
the
ground.
Okay, so you haven't finished the presentation.
Can I ask, let me ask a real fast question.
Right.
You, I'm hearing that you have solved the funding problem.
With this letter of grant, yeah. We not only have the matching funds and the funds to make it happen.
You absolutely should be commended. You
well,
should be
you
commended for doing
that.
And you need to tell the council what we need to do to make it work.
Well, let's not.
Let's go for discussion. That's why.
Yes. Okay. And so that's the good news. Now, the bad news is that. Rick? he does have some really valid concerns that both Karen and I acknowledge, and that if you would go ahead and explain what your concerns are.
You know, ODOT, responded with a review, and I did call them today to talk to the person where they told you to call. They said that they had concerns over the costs being too low.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, our estimates are low. This is, the need. She described the need and the want for it, and I think that that's, there's no argument with that. I mean, in fact, it's exactly what Huntington needs. It's as lots of things the city needs, and they all will come. We are going to have a TSP done. It includes sidewalks, curbs, and streets. And it will tell us things, and through a public process where people get to come in and it's recorded and there's minutes, and people are going to be able to comment on what kinds of things they want in the city and where they want them. And they will talk about sidewalk widths, 6 foot, 8 foot, 10 foot. Do you do curb flares? Do you not do curb flares? Do you put brick pavers on the corners? When you curb and sidewalk, you then have contained stormwater. So where does the stormwater go once you curb? And I can tell you that that's a very big issue. You build holding ponds somewhere, or you put them into things. You've seen those around. I'm just saying that it's very difficult to have a citizen and some people out. It requires Davis-Bacon wages. And it's one thing for a group of volunteers to go with the Ford Foundation with very few rules and regulations and put in some things, and they put in lights. It's much different to go to ODOT and take state money that's in a competitive grant process that requires prevailing wages being paid, built to certain standards, engineering, and everything else. And so, again, we're trying to walk down through a system of doing things. And, I can't support leaping out to apply for an ODOT grant on a project that we really know the city. See, you've been elected. You are responsible. I've been hired as city manager. Just on a wing and a prayer of what it might cost, what it might do. and so on. So just wait. You have your time. And her and I are going to disagree on this. And if the council wants to move forward, it's fine. I refuse to sign the letter. Because, you know, just like ODOT already, just in their little cursory thing says, I don't think you have enough money in this. And I do believe that the city, along with the public, needs to decide how wide sidewalks are. Are you going to put pavers in them? Where are you putting street lights? How many street lights do you need? What are they per month at the end of 5 years? Is ODOT willing to pay the light bill for 5 years? We don't know that. They tend to build bricks and mortar. And if each light is $10 or $15 a month and you're going to put in 50 of them, that's a $10,000 item. I don't know if it's 10 or 5 or 7 or 20. And so, you know, I can't sit here. And she came to me at 10 a.m. on the day of the deadline. My notice was between 10, basically, and 5 p.m. Now, according to that thing, they need it by August 31st, I think, right?
Let's see. September 30th.
There was something in there on August. Something was August. There was one thing that had an August date. But we haven't hired engineers. We don't know what it costs to build a foot of sidewalk to meet ODOT rules. And the list goes on. And we don't know what it costs to meet DEQ rules to contain stormwater. So at this point, it's, to me, a fantastic project. And I have personally been involved in them, love them, help cut the ribbons. But that's at the right time. And I just think it's a year early, maybe 2 years early. So it's not about the need of the project, the importance of the project, and how you want the project. It's sitting here when we're still doing our zoning ordinances. We haven't yet started our TSP, and I think we need to walk through all of those. And that's my concern. We are not a nonprofit offering. We're elected. You have, you know, some rules and regulations that we have to follow that other groups don't.
So. Can I respond?
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry you see me as somebody that's trying to push something that I don't think has already been gone through. I guess when I'm talking to you about that, I did go check. I did check. We have engineering on the lights. They've already been done. Mid-State can put them in without building permits. I got two bids from sidewalk contractors, plus found out who does them for a lot of the different areas around. I wanted to get the letter of intent in, mainly so that we wouldn't lose the opportunity of maybe getting this $330,000 that is available at this time. I've dealt with quite a few different grants, and the money's not always there. I realize that later down the road that we'll be able to apply for different things and hopefully things will be there, but to miss an opportunity to be able to grab a hold of that money at this time seems slightly foolish to me when we've done a lot of the work already. So with this letter of intent, it did go through, and I was very pleased with that. I honestly didn't think it was going to go through, but was glad to be able to do it because she said she'd tell me why it didn't go through and would be able to go back after it. With this, the letter of intent is we've got 60 days to get the proposals all together. Within that time, I truly planned that I would be putting together contractual bids, looking at what would need to be done. The numbers that I did come up with, I truly believe will not only be able to put the sidewalks in and the lights from that distance all the way down there, but additional things that might be needed. There are a few storm drains that are out there. There's only one place that we will be creating more ground coverage than is already there. The sidewalks that we're talking about are the ones that are going to be going in front of Russell's building there, where it's just a big paved parking lot that people get a chance to get hit quite often. And because there's people walking in all different directions. The one thing that Carol Brewer told me on the place over here at the Highway Center was that always bothered her. There's really no designated area. It's a big parking lot also. There's parking, there's a sidewalk coming into it, into asphalt that runs into another sidewalk going out of it. So these were the areas that concerned me the most, and I talked to them. That's why I did include the sidewalks in on this, opposed to just the lights going on down there. So I have done a lot of that. If the board chooses to go forward with this, obviously against your wishes, I would be bringing back to you hard facts, hard numbers, and at that point in time, if it looked like there was absolutely no way that that money was going to cover it, because it doesn't mean we're going to get it. Mm-hmm. It means that we're going to be putting into it for it with these numbers. If I didn't have numbers that would cover what I proposed for the amount that we asked for, there would be no need to go forward anyway. That's why.
Okay, I'd like to respond. I got hit with it, as you know, the same day, the same way that Rick did.
Right.
Last minute, big time crunch and everything. And first of all, let me say I really appreciate your reasons behind this.
And I understand.
Stuff, you know, and I know, we've known each other for years. You know?
Yeah, I understand.
I appreciate the energy and everything. I understand the opportunity. But, of course, I've had a lot of time to reflect on everything that Rick has had to say, and I didn't even need that much time because he makes some very valid points. Opportunity is good only as long as it is something that you can use at that time. And there are some big pieces missing from this, and one of them is our TSP. As Rick pointed out, we don't know what we're going to want in any of these areas. We don't know what the... you talk to some people you know, in the public, but we don't have this as a formal process, a city process. And this is a big, big thing. Another thing that concerns me is the time that it takes. We spent 20 minutes on it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just the very beginning. I know from our experience with the Ford Foundation thing and those lights, which are fantastic. I love being able to see where I'm going when I cross the highway at night in my car. That's great. But I remember from that experience it turned into something much more involved, time-consuming, and costly for the city than what we ever anticipated. Great project and everything, but I understand how this would be much, much more complicated. And again, we're not sure if it would fit into an ultimate plan that the city might have 18 months or 2 years down the line. And we have a full plate for the council and for Rick. And I just unfortunately think it's very premature. You know, opportunities will come up again, hopefully at a better time. And I, as mayor, would not endorse going ahead with this at this time.
Who would determine, for instance, the width of the sidewalk, whether it's ADA compliant, and what kind of corners and things we had to have? How was this all determined? Was it determined by an engineering company, or was it determined by the wishes of the people you talked to, or where did that information come from?
The sidewalks that are there, I didn't plan on replacing.
Pardon?
I didn't plan on replacing the sidewalks that are there. I only planned on filling in where there wasn't. And there is a standard 5-foot sidewalk throughout the streets on Huntington. So I continued on with a 5-foot sidewalk.
So it's a 5-foot sidewalk.
And I did include for all ADA ramps on the corners, because that is required by law now, and it just made sense. And I factored in the price of that also. There would be no curbs involved in this. It would just be the sidewalk itself.
And the average downtown sidewalk in any city is 8 feet. And this is going to be your downtown. I mean, so, and that's the things the TSP will work out, is 5-foot sidewalk is a residential width sidewalk in most cities. 8 feet, because people put little signs out on their sidewalk. You're trying to make this into a downtown commercial area, and when you put a little sandwich sign on a 5-foot sidewalk, you can't even walk down the street, and a kid can't run a stroller or a bike. This is your downtown. Again, I don't know the widths. Maybe they're going to come up with some places will go 10 feet because they want people to have little sidewalk cafes. Mm-hmm. And you're going to do this three blocks. The community will decide, and sidewalks are there for 50 years. These are not 1 year and you take them out. You know, Culver just got $1 million to do their sidewalks downtown. This is $300,000. You're only going to get so many shots at this. And I believe we have a great case, once our TSP is done, to go for a very comprehensive project. And you do it right. You have all your I's and T's done, and we can go in there and go and be competitive for a very nice project. They've already identified your numbers don't look right. And that's just in their cursory review. So, and they want us to call them. I mean, now it's written. If you saw that, it was written. Please give us a call on this. Your numbers don't look right. Right? You know, the city of Lapine cannot send off that responsibility to people that have their volunteers in the community helping. There are certain things they can do, but you cannot have volunteers out getting bids and quotes that meet the requirements that this body has to operate under. I mean, look, just to go get a, I mean, anything above $5,000, we have to go through a whole process and put it in the newspaper and do all kinds of things. How in the world are we going to have the citizens out advertising for quotes and bids and specs and engineering on a $300,000 or $400,000 project? I don't get it. I'm sorry. It's a great project. This is not how you can do it.
No. Your work is, you should be congratulated for the work that you did. It's very, very highly appreciated. And it probably will be fruitful in the future. You're also right. It is premature for this. And the objections and the stumbling blocks that you brought up are completely correct and valid. So we're a little bit ahead of ourselves here. I don't know, a year, 2 years, 3 years, I don't know. But you're absolutely correct. It's a great idea, but it's not time to do it yet. And when it does get done, and it will someday, we all know that, we have to do it the right way, from 1 to 10. We're jumping on this, and you're absolutely correct. It's the wrong time right now. But what you've done and what Adele's done to put this together is, well, you did something there. We greatly appreciate it. It really is. Even if it doesn't work, it's still appreciated.
This is probably one of the hardest decisions that I have to make since sitting on here. It really is, because I personally feel responsible for encouraging you, because I caught on to your enthusiasm, and I think what you really did is. Because I work with
don't
people.
Don't you cry, or you either, because I'm going to.
Because I work with professionals who are, in their capacity, are unable to put projects like this together in this short amount of time. And, you know, and you held a set of really unique qualifications, and being as your, you know, how you could, no one else could have done this in the community. Deborah McMahon couldn't have done it because they don't have those personal relationships. And to back up with the integrity, you know, to back up with the integrity, is that when they saw you coming, they just didn't see.
I understand where you're coming from. I totally agree. I'm not upset that you're going to say no. I am upset that you don't see the potential of this, and I'm sorry that I didn't know Rick better and he didn't know me better to know that I have the qualifications to do what I'm doing. And so with that being said, I do know about state and law, and I've dealt with the highway department, and I've got accesses off of ODOT, and I've done things that you have no idea that I've done. And because of that, it frustrates me, because it just, I'm not upset with anybody. It just frustrates me that we could have gone farther forward, and we are going to pay him for 5 more hours to get things done that he is qualified to do, mm-hmm. when you have somebody and several people that are still qualified that don't have the title that could have helped. That bothers me.
I'd like to make a comment. You know, one of the things that frustrated me more than anything else when I came on this council is that you can't come to a meeting and say, I move that we do this, all in favor say aye.
Right.
No, we can't do that.
I know.
If I wanted to go to the bathroom right now, I'd have to ask the mayor if she'd appoint a committee to find out if it was all right for me to go.
Yeah.
And I get so frustrated over that.
And I know.
I know how you feel.
I dealt with IRS and I dealt with, you know, getting all sorts of things through the government. And so I totally understand. I totally understand the frustration of not being able to do certain things. And so I appreciate your time. I appreciate you giving up this time to
do it. Can we just kind of like hold the phone here a little bit? Is that we do have a little bit of time, September 30th. And so, I mean, let's not... I'd like to think about this. I think... And maybe have some more conversations about it.
If you're willing to, I am. If you want to drop it, that's fine. I've got Rosalind on my plate. I'm trying to get going,
okay.
too.
Well, my only hesitation with
which is
that
city?
is the TSP. And we're forming, well, it's not my only hesitation, the TSP, and we're forming this committee, this Public Works Committee, who is going to be, that's going to be part of their duties, is working on that. We don't have any idea what this city as a whole sees their future downtown, the appearance of it.
At this time.
Yeah,
I mean, I remember when Crescent Creek
want.
Came in, I went to all those
and
meetings, what they wanted.
Karen, your efforts and your abilities and everything are very much appreciated, and I hope you don't go away, because opportunities will be there. my take on this is that everything that we do and every stumbling block we can learn from.
True.
And when, let's when we have something like this, you know, that's coming up, maybe you didn't pick up on it soon enough, I don't know. Hopefully we would have more time for something like this to get it in the works. My other concern is, speaking of time, again, we have a lot of projects. They all take up a lot of time. This council has been accused over and over again of not getting things done. And it's because we spin our wheels a lot because we try to take on too much. Mm-hmm. And then something just gets pushed aside, something else does. When we could have narrowed our focus and zeroed in on X number of things instead of XXX things. And I'm afraid that we just don't have the time. Even if other things were in place to add this to our plate right now. Mm-hmm. It's a huge matter of timing, and I just don't think it works right now. Well, I know it doesn't.
Yeah. I would like just a little bit more time to have more discussion about this, and that we might come up with the same answer, but I don't think, you know... You know, because we got the notice today, and again, you know, there's no sense of putting a gun to our head to make a decision
right
now.
Well, first of all, since you don't have to make, you're not making decisions here. Secondly, it does require in there a resolution by the council. That's one of the things that has to be done. So the council would have to have a resolution passed to move forward. That's in the list. So you would have to officially vote on that at some point if you want to.
Right. But the fact that we do have until September 30th, the fact that I have not even read it yet, I just would just like just a couple more weeks just to...
Do you want this on your agenda for next meeting?
I would say, yeah. I think then I think that would be enough time to talk about it.
Okay.
Well, we have until the Thursday before the meeting, well, next Thursday, if you can... you know, consult with Karen and whoever else you need, and
any questions,
find
I mean,
out.
You know, I'm an open book.
Get a bigger idea, better idea, what the full scope of this is and everything, and then by Thursday, you will know if you would want it on the agenda or for further discussion or.
Well, I guess that we would need to discuss it. It'll have to be a yes or no. You know, whether or not that we're going to proceed with it.
Would it be possible to email each of us on the council the basic outline of what was proposed and the approximate cost of it?
Sure.
So we'd have a chance to kind of look it over between now and the next council meeting.
Right. Yes, you can give me till Friday because I'm grandma tomorrow.
And you know, and I'm not gonna. If you're not on board, then I'm wouldn't be on board. But my goal is to have you on board. But you know, it's not. I would not. I certainly would respect what your decision would be.
You know, the council and city managers disagree sometimes. I think this is terrible public policy. And to me, it's not personal at all. So it wouldn't matter if this was an engineer sitting there with an engineering certificate. This is bad public policy. You do not know any of the things you need to move forward on this. It's a competitive process, and probably 90% of the applicants will be turned down. And so just this going on tonight, ODOT will know that there's controversy surrounding this. You put it on your agenda, they read it in the newspaper. That's all going to just help knock this thing off anyway. I mean, the fact is, we are not ready for this grant. And we don't have a TSP to base it on, and all the other ones, I bet everyone that gets one will have a TSP. And that's because then the nuts and bolts have been figured out, and without it,
I want to learn from this and not make this mistake again. I want to really kind of vet it out. Okay.
I'm still going to keep going back to the TSP. We really need to know. We need to have a plan before we start putting things in the ground.
I agree with you.
I would say, you know, use an analogy of if you're going to build a building, you have an architect draw up the plans, and then you put things in there, and you don't have somebody come and want to put windows in before you build the plan.
Okay, but, go ahead, dude.
I have to agree with you, Rick. It's a great plan. It isn't going to work, and we should just table it and move on. Unfortunately, it's a great plan.
Or vote on
it. But it isn't going to fly. It isn't going to work. And the more we talk about it, the more it isn't going to work. So I would just say, that's great. We'll talk about it next year. For now, we should just table it and move forward.
Watch for those opportunities coming up.
Yes.
Barb, I want to make sure that what's your thoughts on it?
I think that we hired you to lead us through these things, and I think that we should consider what you're saying rather than go ahead. I have some issues with these. If we put sidewalks in front of private property, that enhances the value of their property, but they aren't paying anything for it. And I don't see where 50 lights are going to go in, but I think that we should wait for the next opportunity and take your experience and what you know and go with that. It's a good idea. We need sidewalks, but so many places we need sidewalks.
In some of our planning for our zoning and permits that we issue in the downtown area, property in the downtown area, it may be that some of our ordinances are going to say that if you build a piece of property here, you're going to have to put in a sidewalk here. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
So if we go ahead and, like Barbara says, and puts in those sidewalks now, and then when our ordinance says that we're supposed to have a 12-foot sidewalk there and we have a 5-foot sidewalk here, somebody's going to have to tear it up and start all over again, aren't they? You're not going to grandfather it in if they want something like that. I think we're going to have to go with your recommendation. Yeah.
That's just one more of those things that shows that it's premature without having our ordinances in place, I think.
I mean, what will happen with the TSP, I think this is how it goes. They're going to come through and do this whole public process, and then it's going to come up. And then what you should do, you make your ordinances match it. In other words, if it says Huntington needs to be 8-foot sidewalks, then we're going to adopt ordinances to say sidewalks are 8 feet. And maybe the next street over is a 6-foot sidewalk. It's all different based on the streets, collector, non-collector, downtown, all that. So then your code will match it. So then when someone comes to get a building permit, if they're on Huntington, they'll have to build an 8-foot sidewalk. And it can say, you have to put up the street light if they're not in yet. You know, I mean, I just did a building. I mean, we had to put up we had to match the street light to the system that's been designed. Mm-hmm. You know, we pay for it. So, I mean, that's normally how it happens. Now, what will probably happen, though, in Lapine is exactly what she's doing. It'll just be, you'll take the plan, you'll go through that, we'll know then, and then we would go out. The city at that point would be fully up and running, and you would then go bid this project and do the things she's doing, and then apply, and it's going to be a lot more than $300,000, and you're going to address all those issues, and you're going to have a nice sidewalk enhancement project that works and is neat. I mean, that's really, they think they do this every 2 years. I think it's an every 2 year program. Grass Valley has one of these done. Morrow, if you take 97, Grass Valley has one. Morrow has one. Redmond has one. Madras has one. Culver's is just now starting construction. Lapine will be the only city on the corridor, almost really from California to Washington, that hasn't done it. And they're all $1 million projects. I think Grass Valley, one of those was like $700,000 or something. These things are expensive, they're big, but they are fantastic. And I think it would be neat to have Huntington do exactly what she's saying. Just isn't probably in the next 6 weeks to put it together.
Adele, does the additional discussion change your mind on wanting to...
Well, no, I mean, it's the... I'll go with the majority of the council's decision.
So we will not put it on the agenda.
Okay.
And then if someone wants to bring it up, they can.
So are we going to need to respond to this then?
I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to ask them about what their concerns were on the costs, because I have no idea what the issue was. Are they saying it was a $5,000 deal or a million? I mean, I have no idea what why they wanted that phone call. So find out what the deal was on that, just to give. And then we could, I mean, we'd have to pass a resolution to move forward if we don't pass a resolution. I think if we don't pass a resolution, then we need to withdraw the... Mm-hmm. We would just... You guys didn't vote to apply.
No.
So you don't probably have to vote to not apply. So
so you're going to find out if we need to do anything
to
withdraw.
The direction, I mean, the direction I'm getting here is that basically to withdraw it. I mean, that's...
When they're looking at the cost, there was engineering already done on all the lights and everything. So all those costs had already been done and were still valid. So that was probably a lot of when they looked at that.
I'll ask and let you know what the...
Yeah, thing, I'd like to know.
What could, what the thing was, because I have no clue.
Okay, so Rick will let us know if we need to do anything.
Yeah, I'll give you a report and I'll send it to her on where ODOT's coming from on it. And then, you can add anything. We can bring it up. We can talk at the next meeting for a few minutes if we want to about it. You know, whatever you guys want to do, we can add it that night and deal with it.
Well, thanks to Karen and Adele both for wanting to
help
this work.
But, and Kitty, and thank you, everyone. And thank you for your time. Sorry it took so much of it.
It was worth it.
Well, it was. It was very convincing to, at the last minute, at least get the letter of intent in.
It was clearly accepted. If
we could see fit to move forward with it, we would have that. So I'm glad we did that. Anything else?
Yes, I do. Okay, so... there's been a little bit of arm twisting from COCO to get our legislative priorities into them. And I think I spoke about it at the, not the last meeting, but the meeting before that. And about thinking of what we need, and we need to come up with four of them. I came up with several of So let's see,
and I cheated. I went on the internet. So some of the things that I thought came up was good is support the continued support of the Enterprise Zone, maintain local control regarding land use decisions or any land use issues that would kind of support economic development. And also, they have the general food. What is the state agency about the food? This is the food general bank. Food.
The food that we get is from Redmond, which is a neighbor impact. They get their food from the state.
It's probably a federal pass-through.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Well, get the official name of that and support. Support the funding for that food bank or whatever. Support funding options for maintenance of state roads and highways. Protect existing future water rights from conditions that would prevent municipalities from meeting current or future demands. Reauthorization of the BETCY, the Business Energy Tax Credit. Protect state shared revenue sources. Allow local governments a more flexible use of transient lodging tax to meet the increased demands placed on both essential services and infrastructure created by tourism activities. So those are some of the stuff that I came up with.
I'm glad you did that because I didn't have the time to come up with anything. Anyone else? Okay. Time to think about that. The state shared revenues. Well, there were several of those that you mentioned. They wanted four. Maintain local control on land use issues. For some of them, it's kind of hard to say without knowing all of the details behind them and what it costs whom to.
Okay, so let's pick out one that everybody likes. We have to come up with more. So,
the City of LaPine should be at the top of that list. Probably would be preserve shared revenues because okay. That's your liquor and tobacco tax money, and that's an easy one for the state to grab. And every city in Oregon gets it their share, and so that's a big one. A lot of those are, like say the food, it's a pass through from the feds. There's so many fingers in it. State revenue sharing is pretty easy specific. The state doles that out to the cities, and they could grab it. There's no third party involved.
Yeah.
The other one I think is somewhere in there. Your top four, ODOT, all the things we're talking about, the sidewalk grant we just came from ODOT, the traffic signals we're talking about are all ODOT. So we need to maintain ODOT funding. Right now, as you know, the other day at the meeting, they say that there's no funding going on the STIP. They've just zeroed them all out for the next 4 years. ODOT funding's key.
Okay.
And then beyond that, it's more of your electives. Kind of like you got to have your English, math, and then you get electives. You kind of got to get transportation and your shared revenue.
Yeah. I kind of like the food bank thing. The support, the general, I forgot what the name of the, I had it, but I didn't write it down. Support the general food. Anyway, it's like the funding source for the state so that they're, that they are guaranteed or so that those dollars aren't cut so that they would be able to provide for like the community kitchen and neighborhood impact enough resources or money to continue that.
Should we pick a broader something is it social service related rather than because that's housing to, I don't know, is it just food bank or are you talking in general?
There's a lot of local people that depend on the food that they get through those sources. Like your Meals on Wheels and so forth.
Yeah.
You can put something where Doug Riggs will figure it out, but you could put services for people in need. And then highlight maybe food bank, and maybe there's a couple others, housing, food bank, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Lots of that stuff does come from the feds, and ultimately the state doesn't actually put very much money in it, I'll bet. I don't know that.
Well, are these
what you found, are they already pending bills or?
No, No, they're just ideas.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, I would.
And I'm sure that, you know, that they are said in other cities are submitting very similar things.
Yeah, okay.
You know, transportation, shared revenue, services for people in need. We need one more.
What was that? Local control, and what was it?
The land use.
Land use.
Maintain local control.
Because everyone.
Do anyone like that one?
I do.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, one other thing. Another item that they want us to come up with is that out of the box idea for economic development.
I didn't hear what you said.
Out of the box idea for economic development.
Top five creative economic development ideas.
I'm going for one.
Well, you know, this is what they want. They want us, every city, to contribute. So if we contribute only what we have and it's just one idea, that's great.
Yes. But usually they let us slide, but this year they're not.
Yeah, they're hammering, aren't they?
They are hammering.
Well, Doug Riggs, yeah, he's justified.
Ted, yeah. A creative economic development idea, please. Kind of make you think here.
I think if you, a lot of times people think of economic development is recruiting industry to come in and provide jobs, but economic development is a two-pronged approach. One is, recruiting new industry and so on. The other is assisting existing businesses and industry to be able to expand, and if we can maybe focus on that area, but also that equally important to bringing in additional industry.
My comment would be the problem is in the box. We don't need to be thinking out of the box. The problem is that the regulations to build, all the different rules that already exist out there is the reason that businesses and companies have trouble. ODOT won't let you build unless you go out and put $1 million in an intersection. You know, it's those aren't out of the box, so I can't answer. The problem's in the box. It's pretty basic.
To follow that up, in terms of building for anybody coming in, if we in the planning commission and the zoning ordinance and so on could design a fast track permitting process, so that if somebody wants to come in, they're not waiting for 6 months to go through a process, that in a month or so they'll be able to get going and put something on the ground.
Well, streamlined permitting process. That actually is creative. Who the heck has that?
Yeah. Well, out of the box rule is eliminate, or out of the box is eliminate the rules. And so the rules eliminating the box.
Concern of mine is in terms of our economy and so on and funding. We were promised the states that had timber industry, and the timber industry supported a lot of the infrastructure within the counties and the state. And now we don't have that timber industry. So Congress said, well, okay, because so much of your land is tied up in government land, we'll support you with funding in order to supplement or take care of that loss of timber industry money. Now it's going away, which is supposed to go to their schools and transportation and so on. So, you know, if we could somehow lobby to try to get that money coming back, because 82% of Deschutes County is government-owned, and therefore you don't have a tax base. And so we need something to take care of that. The states on the eastern seaboard and so on, that they don't have that problem of all these huge national forests and so on.
Okay, so how would you state that as a creative economic development idea?
Well, first of all, that's federal timber payments, and this is the state legislature.
Oh, okay.
Right. So what about
taxation of government agencies.
BLM land, and that's really out of the box.
You could bring this back for our August,
yeah. How soon do they want, by email your top five creative ideas by August 4th.
Yeah. That's Doug. I love Doug. I've spent many hours in my lobby.
Can I just say that Rick says we need...
Tell him, Rick said he needs to go down to Magoo's and spend a little more time, and secondly is that the legislature doesn't start for 6 months.
Okay, yeah. So, tell him we can't keep up with one so far, and here's a big raspberry until next until next meeting.
Doug's a good lobbyist, and he does a good job for Coco.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So,
that's it for me.
Council, anything else?
I have one thing. I think that all of you probably had an opportunity to look at the Jeep out here that we received from Redmond, or
Sisters.
Yeah, I knew where it came from. I picked it up. And I wasn't Redmond. But anyway, I think that we ought to put on an agenda for the next meeting to have a resolution of thanks or something.
How about just a thank you letter?
Just a thank you letter.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that all of us on the council ought to sign it. I think it's a...
I'll have Luana work on coming up with a... Patty, make sure Luana have Luana drop a thank you letter.
Okay.
Signed by all council members.
Great. Sounds great.
Thank you.
That's neat, Rick. It's out there. Thanks to Don and his wife. I mean, he went through and dropped it off, picked up on the way home. But anyway, going up and getting that thing, and I went out and just pulled it. You can look at it out front, and so it's there, and so you got to run an errand downtown, you can start using it, and it's, you know, he is not sure it'll get to the coast, but
just don't go past any gas stations, because you're going to have to stop that sucker of the gas station, just watch it.
So it's for your use, you know, if someone's got a meeting, they want to try it out or something, you know, we've got our insurance.
It's
and,
all ready to go, huh?
Yeah, it looks, it was very clean, and, you know.
Well, how does it get gassed up if you were out in it?
Well, we would, if we got a credit card, we can run down and keep it full once in a while. And again, if you're traveling.
So you get reimbursed.
We'd reimburse you for sure.
I got a kick out of it when I picked the car up. The city manager came out and we talked about it a while, and she looked at it. She goes, "Oh, I didn't know it had white wheels."
Yeah.
So they really cleaned it up for us inside and out.
Barbara, did you have anything?
I don't.
Douglas?
No, I think I've said enough, except for the car. I think we ought to have the city of Lowell on it and the mayor's picture.
We don't really have a logo, but we'll put something on it.
What's wrong with the...
We can do the 100 years.
What the city put out there. I mean, what we put out there for the sign that comes in the interest.
Oh, that the chamber did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a nice sign.
I think that's a nice sign. I think it's a good-looking logo.
Another one of those things. Well, see, we can't just use it.
I understand that.
The chamber, but that is another one of those things in our spare time that we need to talk about as a city logo.
Mm-hmm.
Adele, anything else?
No.
Public comments. Normally we have people come up to the podium. If they have anything that they would like to say?
You do. I'm Ted Shore. I live on Cornell Drive, up north part, not in the city. Geez, I had several items, but I forgot them. You've been going so long here. But one real, I think, important item on the TSP in terms of transportation. Back in 2000 and 2001, the whole group of us met with ODOT, and we designed 97 all the way through a pine, and ODOT put that on the shelf because they thought, well, you're trying to do incorporate, and we don't want to step ahead of you. That was an excuse to put it on the shelf and leave it there for 10 years. Maybe when you're doing the TSP.
Ted, could you please hold on a little bit?
Pardon?
Could you speak up a little bit?
Okay. That's not on. That's fine. I can talk plenty. We did a whole study. A group of us met for I don't know how many evenings. back in 2000, 2001, a design of Highway 97 through Lapine, including need for stoplights and the curve flaring, all of that was done. And ODOT took that study and put it on the shelf. And I'm suggesting asking ODOT to pull it off the shelf and maybe include it. You know, why reinvent the wheel if part of it's already been invented? Bring that off.
You know, I'll make sure that we hunt that out. I'm sure they should, theoretically. Kittleson should gather kind of the plans that have been done
right.
as a base. Mm-hmm. I'll ask that one.
Good. I can't remember the rest. You know, at this age, you know. Thank you. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Thank you.
Near Paul.
I just want to make a suggestion on the city hall. Get a piece of land and build a building that you need for now. With a design that you can expand it for later. The reason I'm saying this is that, you know, I'm with the community kitchen there. We got that building from the county. And in order to do what we have to do with that building and connect it to the building that we have now and then meet all the requirements for this county, it's over $500,000 just to do that. If I had known this, I would have voted against taking that building. It would have been cheaper to tear the old building down and build a whole new building. So you got to think about that. And then you've got a building that meets your needs for now, and you can expand it later.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Sure.
Anyone else? I did think of one more thing. I do this a lot. I talked with Skip Evans yesterday at ODOT. He's one of our customers. Called for us to pump the rest area tanks down at Beaver Marsh, and he told me that he was very impressed with you and your ideas at the TAC meeting and everything, and I know you meet a lot of people. I don't know if you can place Skip, but anyway.
Well, that one doesn't ring. I don't know who he is, but I'm glad he's happy.
Yeah. Anyway, he said, by the way, he says, I'm really impressed with your manager, and I liked his ideas. He said it was really great. He asked, why the heck are we meeting once a month, and suggested we meet quarterly, and then eventually phase out. So anyway, I just thought that everyone should know that our manager is getting kudos from people out there.
Well, everywhere I go, everyone asks me about Lapine.
Is that good or bad?
Well, it was so funny when Greg Walden, him and his wife were walking down the sidewalk, and I was supposed to meet him. He was a little lost, and so and within 2 minutes, he says, "How's Lapine?" But I get that everywhere I go, but it gives you a chance then to talk to him about it. ODOT people, when I see him in Matters, you know, wherever I am, when I'm around these people, we spend most of our time talking about Lapine. Someone the other day wanted me on a committee, and I said, "Oh no." So I'm busy in Lapine. I don't need any committees. So thanks for the chance again to work with you. And it was a long meeting, but we had to work through some of those things. Is the work session working out okay for everyone so far?
I like this. Yeah. We talked with Patty about it a little bit earlier. She said she thinks it's going to be a lot easier to do the minutes this way.
I approved two sets of minutes you just got today. I read through them, and you know she's getting them out a week. We're within 7 days now.
Yeah.
We're getting minutes out. So if they see those are little things, instead of 2 and 3 weeks, we're down to 7 days. And things are coming along. Mm-hmm. And we will have, they're online. You'll be able to actually hear them. There's some of them on. Yeah. How many are on?
Got them up through March and just have to put a couple more months on and we'll have all of 2010.
We did January 1st. I told them to start just as your January forward. You know, you can go back. Who knows? But so you'll be able to actually listen to this if you'd like to do this instead of watch TV. But you know, I'll tell you, a lot of cities, a lot larger than this, don't do that. So that's. And then we'll move to committees, right? We haven't done committees yet.
put committees online.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, that's as transparent as you can be. People can sit at home and listen to that
while they're playing solitaire on their computer.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
With that, I guess we will adjourn the meeting. All in favor?
Hi.
All right. Let's just get out here. 8:42. Thank you.
Thanks for coming, everyone. Sorry about that.
I'm
actually
going to
be
sick.
Oh, you are? I am.
It's still actually.